This is PFW in Progress.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. To me, being a gangster was better than being president of the United States. To me, it meant being somebody in a neighborhood that was full of nobodies. They weren't like anybody else. I mean, they did whatever they wanted.
BFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
He was one of the most feared guys in the city. He was first locked up at 11, and he was doing hits for mob bosses when he was 16. But what he really loved to do was steal. I mean, he actually enjoyed it. He was the kind of guy who rooted for the bad guys in the movies.
Paul Perillo.
In prison, dinner was always a big thing. We had a pasta course, and then we had a meat or a fish. Paulie did the prep work. He was doing a year for contempt, and he had this wonderful system for doing the garlic. He used a razor, and he used to slice it so thin that it used to liquefy in the pan with just a little oil. It's a very good system. There was Jimmy and Tommy and me, and there was Anthony Stabile, Frankie Carbone,
and Jimmy Two Times, who got that nickname because he said everything twice, like...
And Andy?
And his guys, Frankie the Wop, Freddie No-Nose, and then there was Pete the Killer, who was Sally Balls' brother.
Andy Hart.
And then there was Mo Black's brother, Fat Andy.
Some guy named Tom.
Funny how. I mean, what's funny about it? Right. Funny how. Let me understand this, because maybe it's me. I'm a little f***ed up, maybe. I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. How the f*** am I funny? What the f*** is so funny about me? Tell me. Tell me what's funny.
PFW in Progress.
I'll go home and get your shine box.
All right. I got a feeling this is going to be a great show.
I do, too.
Back here, PFW.
Ladies and gentlemen, that voice you're hearing is Fred Kirsch.
I'm back in the saddle, and I understand that I have some very, very big shoes to fill.
Tom was just outstanding.
Not to mention a big saddle to fill. But Tom was the host, and Tom, you did a laudable job, I hear.
Well, thank you. I gave it a run. I'm no Fred Kirsch, but I gave it a shot.
He didn't, stumble and stammer over every email.
That's okay.
There was one of them I didn't do that with.
But he did say, and we're back.
That's when
we came back from a commercial.
That's kind of our trademark.
It's nice to have everybody here. Fred and Andy finally back from vacation.
Yeah, all right. So this is it. Andy read the memo. He has the right shirt on today. You have the same red checkered shirt I have, except you have the Sipowicz short sleeve.
I probably have the cheap one, and you probably have the fancy one.
That's because he needs to show off the guns, right, Tom?
That's probably a medium.
Let me give you a start. By the way, you're listening to PFW in Progress, and welcome to the show. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. We've got a ton of emails we have to get to. We're all excited because camp officially opens to the public this Friday. We're going to have a ton of stuff on Patriots.com from the staff, so we're all very excited about that. But I just want to let people in. Here at the stadium, the marketing or whoever it is, a pro shop, made up some nice Patriots training camp T-shirts and caps that all the full-timers got, one of each. And, you had to give your size, and Andy gave his size as a large so that he could show off his guns during camp.
He hasn't worn a large
email.
In 8 years.
It says XL.
XL.
You sent me an email. I replied XL.
Okay.
Speaking of emails, Fred.
Yeah.
It's probably lost with the one where I told you I was going on vacation.
Yeah. I don't remember ever getting it.
Sent it in, April.
Really?
Yeah, right after,
the
combine.
Did I ever respond to it?
You never respond to emails.
Oh, no, that's not true.
Actually, I think you did. It's usually all right.
Usually
it's one word.
Are we into next year's days already?
No, that's what he says.
Andy took a three-week vacation, of which I don't even remember a request for. I just know that, Andy's not going to be
your emails
next week or the week after or the week after that.
Speaking of emails, Paul needs help. He deleted his inbox.
Any way to get that back?
Deleted your entire inbox.
By accident. Any way to get that back?
I didn't even know that was possible.
I didn't either.
Yeah, well,
is there any way to get it back?
Paul's breaking ground.
Well, we'll have to check on that.
And he deleted it all the way. It went to the deleted items, and then he deleted that.
I thought I was deleting my sent folder, and I was deleting
my
email.
So, wait a minute. Did you delete
the dude, man.
Yes,
email
I
in the inbox or the entire inbox?
No. The email's in the inbox.
All of them.
I think you can recover those somehow.
Oh, I can?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
There are a few that I would definitely like to have back.
How did you do that?
I just told you. I thought I was
Paris
deleting
Hilton
my sent.
Video.
I keep getting the emails that my mailbox is over the size limit, so I went in, I deleted my delete folder, and then I went to the sent folder, I thought, and you know how that's a two-step process. You delete out a send,
right.
Then you have to delete out a delete.
Right.
Well, I thought I was clicking on sent, but I evidently was clicking on the inbox, because when I went back to my inbox, it was empty.
Oh, Fred, I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but if I was the host, see, I would have put an end to that conversation and went right to the Ty Law stuff.
Well, we're going to do that, but Maura O'Brien, who is one of our graphics people, she did yeoman's job last week because Michelle was on vacation and Donnie had to do the cover, and that took him 3 days.
What did you say to him?
Why don't you and the cover
you
get a room?
You and the cover going to get a room?
Later on, you weren't there. I got on him again about it. Because it's so funny, because he's working on this sign, and the cover of our latest PFW, it's got a wooden camp sign that says, "Welcome to Camp Belichick." So he's working on that sign. I'm like, "Donnie, what's holding you up on the cover?" I'm like, "Well, you know, I'm trying to, you know, make the sign look as real as possible." I go, "Well, maybe next time you should pick something that, you know, you don't have to spend all day making look as real as possible." Because I said, "I'll tell you something, I'm not staying here till 8 o'clock so you can get a real-looking sign." So
he get paid by the hour.
Fred dropped the hammer, in other words, when I left. I have to say, when I came in on Monday morning, all I was expecting was the letters page and then the photo headshot spread. And there was the training camp cover was on my computer, and I was just like, I cannot believe that he didn't. Basically, that was all he was doing was those two covers, and they were the same.
Right.
So I could not understand how you hadn't seen that training camp cover yet.
No.
But it's a good issue.
So I said to Moore, I said,
minus one major, major error that we made in misspelling Lawrence on the list page. Unfortunately, we have a, this first round pick is kind of
but,
a
but getting
guy.
Back to your problem with computers, I asked Moore, I said, you know, we converted from Quark Express to this new InDesign.
Adobe InDesign.
Yeah. And so I said, how's that conversion?
Tom, how long would it have taken you to put an end to this conversation?
I said, how's that conversion going?
Breaking news, Ty Law signs.
I think it's fine, but, you know, Paul, of course, you know, was like, I can't do it. I can't open it up. It doesn't work, blah, blah, blah.
I didn't say that.
That's what she said you said.
Oh, no, there are some things that I can't do because they haven't installed my fonts on my computer. It's the computer, not the program.
Okay. All right.
There's a difference.
Anyway, Kyle.
Kramer. Sadie
is here. Kyle is a new on our team. And
he doesn't speak for
no.
I didn't even know we invited him to be down here, but that's all right.
Oh, wow.
He decided to just walk
we
in.
Actually
put some headphones
specifically
on.
Told him not to come down, I think.
Wow.
Kyle, if you've been on Patriots.com lately, you can see some of his work so far. I guess it's been okay, right? I haven't heard any.
You can check him out on
DaveBudek.com.
I guess it's been okay.
Kyle, you have to understand that on this show, I'm not the nice, benevolent boss that you see upstairs, okay?
Is that what you are upstairs?
Who apparently isn't reading your stories.
No, I have. That's, you know.
You need a microphone, we're on the radio.
You need to talk into a mic, Kyle.
See, right, Fred,
does mic work?
I don't
yes,
know
that
if you noticed,
works.
But when I put the schedule together for the season, I didn't include Kyle to have the shifts because he doesn't speak.
He doesn't speak. Well, we're going to have to change that, Kyle. This is the radio. You need to talk in order for people to
Kyle's nodding.
I know.
Last week, he and Elizabeth were on with us, and we've set the over-under at 72 words.
Yeah, 72
combined.
Words.
Well
hit,
under.
Hit the under.
They didn't make the
I think
over.
I can beat 72 today.
All right, we'll see. Anyway, let's get to some Patriots news, Tom.
Okay, finally.
Tom is just
15
like chomping at the bit. He's
15 minutes in, our host gets the Patriots football.
Let's get that breaking news from Sunday.
Tom is the leader of
that has
why don't
to
you
do
guys
Patriots,
start talking
really
about
now.
The Patriots stuff club? That's
I am.
He's the leader of that club.
Well, you know why he's doing this? Because he's gotten a few favorable emails about his stint.
No,
and he
I
knows
like
that
Allison, his mom.
I like
he's
to talk about football, not what
he
Fred had for dinner last
there's
night.
There's a movement afoot here. You know, this groundswell of Tom appreciation, and Tom knows how to play to the crowd.
He's riding the wave.
There's a small but vocal portion of our listenership that really enjoys that powerful. All Patriots,
hard
all
hitting.
The time,
well, if
2 hours
out there,
every day,
let's let the fans decide.
Football.
If you're out there, what would you rather talk about, Ty Law or Paul's computer problem?
Right.
I don't have any computer problems.
See, Tom, we're gonna talk about
computer
Ty
works
Law.
Fine.
We're
it's the idiot who deletes the inbox.
You know, we're just kind of warming up. When you have a big business meeting, you always have a little chit-chat before the you get to the hard stuff.
And I would say even beyond the hard stuff, Ty Law's a chief. Okay, done.
No, I want
to big
talk
news
about
of the
that.
Day to me is Deion Branch on the record, his agent saying he's not going to be there Friday.
Well, we don't know about that.
Well, I mean, just
obviously he's going to say that.
Okay, I guess.
Well, how good?
Well, why is he going to obviously say that? He doesn't have to say anything.
Yes, he does. Why would he say anything otherwise?
Between now and then, he's not going to be here.
Right. But why would he say anything otherwise? He's not going to say. Well,
he didn't say anything for like 6 months, and now he has come out and said he's not going to be there.
He's involved in a negotiation.
And Richard Seymour didn't say that.
He's involved in a negotiation.
So you think Dion Branch will be there Friday?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Well, I think that's news.
And we're going to get to that. Okay. We're going to talk to that.
We're going to talk Chiefs first.
You know, Ty Law, we should basically put an end to that story. You know, just close the loop. As we know, he signed with the Kansas City Chiefs. 5 years, $31 million, something around that. Yeah, but
it'll be 2
according
years.
To Pro Football Talk, which is a reliable source on things like this, I would say, $4 million of it is guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. Well, $5
million. $5 million? Four up front and another million.
He's getting $5 million this year, yeah. And then if he's on the roster this year, according to one thing that I read, it kicks in a $3 million bonus for next year. So it's about $7 million if he plays as much as one game for the Chiefs. He's going to be guaranteed.
So based on what we know, did the Patriots miss an opportunity, or see you later?
Me and Paul were talking about it when we were leaving the other day, and I think we hit the nail on the head. The money was probably pretty close, but when you play for the Patriots, and Belichick has said this in his press conferences, you really have to put your entire self into this team. He's played for Herm Edwards. He couldn't be on a more opposite end of the spectrum than Bill Belichick.
He walked all over Herm Edwards.
Right. He can go to Kansas City, collect his money, and like Paul said, they'll just say, go cover that guy all day. And that's all he's got to do. Here, he's got to do a lot more stuff. And at his age, he probably just wanted to take the money and the easy way out.
And he didn't sign with an awful team. I mean, there's a chance he's going to be in the playoff mix and things go the right way.
They should be in the playoff.
Like he went to San Francisco.
Right.
And I think the Patriots on paper are better than Kansas City. As Fred wrote in his edit letter, there was a big surprise there, breaking news. Fred thought that the Patriots are going to be better than someone else. Fill in the blank.
I'm stunned.
I do think Kansas City will be in the mix at the very least.
Right.
But he did say he's healthy. I mean, he had his first press conference yesterday.
He looked good.
In his cutoff.
He did,
Fred,
look
you
good.
Like
he
that
looked
kind
better
of
than
stuff.
He did last year at this time.
Well, he is. I mean, he worked out with Kersey again, which is something he couldn't do last year. So he's running like an Olympic athlete again. You know,
and let's be honest, a team that's been torched through the air over the last couple of seasons now has Patrick Surtain and Ty Law at the corners. That's a big improvement.
Derek Johnson, second year, should be better.
You think the Patriots passed up on an opportunity?
I would have been in that kind of money, I would have been willing to go a little further. I've said all along, I think he's a very valuable commodity. If you can get him on that 1-2 year type money and just pay him $10-12 million, whatever it is. Because I think he makes your defense immediately significantly better.
And I agree, but based on what Tom says, if the money's the same, he's choosing the easier coach.
But do you think I'll make
the money a little better.
Do you think he could have been using the Patriots just as a bargaining tool, knowing he was going to sign with Herm Edwards the whole time in Kansas City?
Could be.
In hindsight, that may have been his goal all along. I mean, his plan all along. Now, I know in talking to some people poking around a little bit on Monday, the Patriots had genuine interest. Somebody told me that the guaranteed money that Kansas City gave was a little bit more than we were willing to offer. Now, Mike Reese had an item on his blog today, I believe, maybe it was posted yesterday, that he said the Patriots' offer was only a 2-year deal, which is irrelevant because that's really all the Kansas City deal is a 2-year deal. Probably, you know, maybe not even a 2-year deal, depending on what happens, but obviously, Ty's not going to get to those late years with a $9 million stuff, and you know, there's like $20 million over the last 3 years of that deal. He's not going to get to all that. So that much is pretty much on par. So if the money was close, I'm a little surprised because I thought if it was in the same ballpark, he would come back. And that's when Tom and I had the discussion that he just talked about. Maybe then he just chose the easier way out because he used to always talk about it. You know. Remember when Pete was here and he would say, you know, I don't know about the schemes and the defenses and stuff like that. I cover Marvin Harrison. That's what I do. I cover the other team's number one guy, and that's what I do. Well, Bill doesn't operate that way, and he doesn't, you know, sometimes he does that. Sometimes that's all he was doing was playing man-to-man press coverage against the other team's number one guy, but not always, and maybe he just wasn't really in the
I agree with you. I thought if the money was similar.
I thought if it was close,
here,
ballpark, he would come back.
So I am a little surprised, and I'm disappointed. I wanted him back here.
You should be. because he would have made the defense significantly better.
Yeah,
he's a domino effect.
Yeah,
he talks about a million times.
Judging by, I mean, I don't want to put too much into his appearance yesterday, but I agree with him. I mean, I think he's a difference maker, and I thought he looked 1,000 times better than he looked at this time last year. And even during the season last year, he was really pudgy last year.
Yeah, sure. And what you fall into here is Hobbs and Samuel, they're okay as the starters, but what if one of them gets hurt?
Right.
Now you have huge question marks. Who we go? Is it Randall Gay? Is it Scott? Is it Warfield?
Yep.
So, like Andy said, it's a huge domino effect because then you have three good corners.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're solid.
Law, Hobbs, and Samuel, that's a good trio.
You've got a hell of a secondary.
Let's assume that Harrison's not quite ready. You're opening the season with a secondary that was basically, you know, your injury replacement secondary of the past.
Yeah.
You know? So, and I think they're okay. I think Samuel, like, I've been a big Samuel guy from the start. I think he's better than most people give him credit for. Most Patriots fans are pretty high on Hobbs and his potential. I think you're okay, but the problem is now you're dealing with guys that aren't as good as they were Samuel was 2 years ago when he filled in, and Randall Gay was 2 years ago. You know, what happens if you get really hit hard again at that position the way you have the last 2 years?
Even if you don't, I think this puts a little added pressure on Ellis Hobbs to develop
a little bit
more. And we've seen him be vocal out in minicamp, and maybe he's more than willing to take that pressure and run with it.
Got the swagger.
Yeah, but he needs to cover
people. Still got to cover Marvin Harrison and Chad Johnson.
And he needs to prove he's more than Asani Samuel. Asani Samuel is a serviceable NFL corner.
But can't cover Marvin Harrison.
Patriots need a number one corner. They need a number one cornerback. And they don't have that right now.
Andy makes a good point, because as bad as Dwayne Starks was playing, at the start of that Colts game, they went right after Asani Samuel because he was on Harrison. So you're looking at a number two corner covering the top receivers, and then that's when you run into trouble. That's where Ty Law comes in. Mm-hmm. So there's the domino effect again. Well, let me ask you guys,
the other thing is, though, before we get to that, it's great to have that number one guy that you can always put on the other guy's top receiver. There's very few of those corners that exist.
Right.
So the
and you were in the mix for one.
Right. The answer to that is playing good team defense where you confuse them enough, where you can cover that up. And toward the end, they were doing that. But it took them a long time to get there and find that combination. And really, you're starting over again.
Right.
So you're assuming...
Well, the question is, what do you do against the teams that, you know, that have a potent offense, that have a balanced offense? Because I think they were able to cover that, quote-unquote, cover it up against, you know...
The
Jets, the Bills, the Tampa Bays. You know, I think they did a pretty good job in Denver, which is, I would say, was pretty good.
Offense. They made mistakes in Denver.
They were pretty good. I thought the defense played pretty well against Denver in that playoff game. But for the most part, down the stretch, they weren't facing San Diego and some of those offensive teams at the beginning of the year that really exposed them in both the running and passing games.
Yep. All right. What else? What's next on the...
What was your question about money?
Oh, I was going to ask you, and I always ask you guys this because you've been around longer than me, and I don't understand all the complexities of it, but the Patriots seem to be a good deal under the cap still, right?
As far as we know, yeah.
Are they...
Richard Seymour.
You think they're just going to give it to...
Pay him as much
right
as they can this year and put it on this year's books, and then, you know, it takes it away from future years when maybe they have things planned on the horizon, or even if it's just to extend... Copens and Grahams and those guys next spring.
But when you say pay him as much now...
Well, there's a bonus that he could get any time between August
and
March.
But if you give it to him this year, it goes on this year's books.
If they give it to him before the season, I believe,
it goes on this year's books.
Yeah,
I think there's a date in like November or December.
There's a deadline for that. I don't know what it is, but there's a deadline. It's not just you give it to him any time this year. So, in other words, you let the whole year go and you never needed that cap space. In December, you just say,
it's the season. I think there's a date in the year because it was the date the Brandon Gorin thing went down like 3 years
That's
ago.
That's what I'm saying. There's a deadline. You can't just
do
it any time and have
late.
It count on this season.
I think it's
I think it's probably the trading deadline, which is not very late. It's October.
Okay. Well, a month or two into the season.
Yeah,
it's not before the season.
So let me ask you guys this. Say you're the Patriots. You're looking long-term. You look at your division and say, we got a lot of young guys. We can probably take that division this year. We get in the playoffs. Anything can happen. Now, next year, we got Maroney, Thomas, and Jackson going in their second year. Hobbs and those guys going into their third year. Then we have a lot of money to spend. So do you look at it that way, like maybe they're –
in theory.
Looking at their division this year, thinking that they can win it with what they have, and next year start restocking with different free agents and, like, linebackers and things like that. Is that something you think they're
plausible?
Looking at?
I'm finding it a little interesting because they have a pretty sizable group of free agents, pending free agents. Probably, I would say this is maybe the biggest group of pending free agents they've had, you know, in terms of caliber, not in terms of quantity. I'm talking quality. You know, you have Graham, Samuel, Copen, Branch. I mean, those are pretty, you know, I'm not saying that they're all pros, but they're guys that have been starters, consistent starters. Maybe they're trying to, you know, I find it interesting that none of that group really, you know, Seymour was one of them, obviously, and that was the exception, but I'm a little surprised that no one else has gotten a Jarvis Green type extension. Maybe they will. Maybe we'll get that in the next week or so.
You know they've got a plan.
But that doesn't mean it's a good one, Fred.
I think it does. I think
but at some point you got to start signing people.
Why do we have shows?
You
why
can't
do
have
do
a
this?
Team with Richard Seymour and Tom Brady.
I
knew that would get
that plan work out.
But why do we? But why do we talk about? Why do we waste our breath? I know they have a plan, and it's a good one. Okay.
Paul, are any of
be back next week.
We can speculate what the plan might be and see how
what's
smart
the difference?
We are.
It's a good one. What's the difference? Why right.
See how smart you are to see if you can come
so
up
with
that
plan.
So what's the plan? I don't know.
See, I agree with you that that's
one.
The strongest class of free agents that they need to re-sign, but I don't put any of them in the
must-sign category. No, absolutely
if,
not.
If they go 2-2 there,
but
I would say they did a pretty good job. They re-signed
certainly
two, they
wouldn't
lost
have put
two.
Guys like Jarvis Green in the category.
Right,
you know,
yeah,
must,
but, Andy,
but they extended
guys,
it beforehand.
If you keep losing guys and you keep bringing in Dwayne Starks and Eric Warfield, doesn't your team get progressively worse?
Well, see, like a Samuel, if I lose him, in theory, Dwayne Starks, to me, was just as good as... It didn't work out. He stunk.
No, but
I think Asani Samuel is replaceable.
Who's not Richard Seymour and Tom Brady.
I don't think Adam Vinatieri is replaceable.
This guy can be replaced. This guy can be replaced.
I don't think Adam Vinatieri is replaceable.
Don't you have to sign some of your players? Like,
you can if you try to replace them, they're replaceable. If you don't try to replace them, that's when you make them irreplaceable. They didn't try to sign anybody.
Here's where I'll get made fun of for being the homer.
Close.
I think they have re-signed more guys than you think. You know, Mike Vrabel, Green... you know, obviously Brady and Seymour. There are more guys that haven't gotten to free agent. Matt Light, you know, even a guy like Hochstein. There are more guys that got extended before they became free agents than I think the general media is willing to really recognize. All we ever point to, and I'm guilty of it too at times. I don't want to say that. I don't. You know, we point to David Givens. Well, if they had done it beforehand, you know, when he wanted the extension, it wouldn't have come to that. Well, that's one guy they lost, but. There are some others that they, you know, some of them they lost and some of them they've been able to re-sign.
And that's the same with every team.
Right. And I agree with that. And I know that I'll probably sound like the homer there and not too many people.
No, but you're right, Paul.
But I think there are some guys there that have been extended. But I just know that whatever they're going to do will be the right thing.
Paul, don't apologize.
We'll see you next week.
You don't have to apologize.
Whatever Belichick and Pioli do will be the right thing.
You got that right.
I'll be back next week.
We're going to get to the PUP list?
Yeah. That is probably the biggest news this week.
Because Branch isn't news at all.
It was broken by Borges, or revealed by Borges, and then confirmed. Has it been confirmed by the Patriots yet?
No. I don't believe so.
I mean, it's pretty much public knowledge now. I don't think there's any big surprises on it, but why don't you go over that PUP list, Andy?
No surprise, Rodney Harrison. Mm-hmm. No real surprise, Dan Copen. Mm-hmm. No real surprise, I guess, with the next three, although more of a surprise than Copen.
I have to disagree a little bit.
Well, the guy they all miss minicamp. That's why I say they're not surprises.
Right.
Randall Gay, Patrick Pass, and Nick Kazier.
I thought Kazier was a bit of a surprise to me.
But to me, it's not really meaningful until he misses 3 weeks
of
camp.
Well, we don't even know what is Kazier's injury.
I don't
have any idea.
We believe it's a shoulder, but that's not confirmed.
Gay looked fine when we saw him, so... I mean, what was Gay's
at the golf tour?
No, I don't know. But well, you didn't let me finish.
I agree with Tom here.
What was Gay's injury last year?
I agree with you.
Ankle.
As far as I know, he had a high ankle sprain, and I cannot imagine 8 months later that's keeping him out of training camp.
Right. That was my point.
But I also heard he had toe surgery. I heard he had toe surgery. But I didn't put it in the article.
Where did you get sources?
It was on. It was on a fantasy site.
Out of training camp either.
Yeah, but as long as you fail a physical, they put you on PUP, and it gives you the option. I think that's all this is, a formality. I wouldn't be shocked to see one of those three on the practice field Friday.
I think the only
real formality. He took the physical. He couldn't pass the physical to start training camp. He's allowed to go on PUP. It makes no sense not to put him on.
Yeah, but the way Ron Borges this is a bad day for the New England Patriots.
Okay, well, let's get past that and just deal with
it. Did he not say that?
Well, it's,
it's not that big a deal.
Did he make it overdramatic? Yes. Is it a good thing? No.
No, of course not. You want everyone healthy.
There's key members of the team that can't open practice.
But we knew that Rodney Harrison wasn't going to be there. We suspected Copen wouldn't be there.
I think Copen is the biggest deal of all of them because... It's still an unknown surgery. I mean, an unknown
scar.
Why it's so long on that shoulder. I think that's a serious concern. You knew Harrison, because of the severity of the injury, was a problem. You weren't going to have him to start the year. Copen, everybody seemed to be like, well, when Copen's back in the offensive line, now they got all these young guys with experience. Well, Copen's not back.
Right.
I agree in theory. When he's back in the middle of that line controlling it, that's great. But he's not back, and when is he going to be back? And we saw them extend Hochstein this offseason.
Yeah,
Paul and I were talking about earlier, he's been listed now. He forever was an offensive lineman. Now he's a center.
And
is there a concern Dan Copen isn't going to play?
Don't dismiss that. You know, Andy brought that up earlier today. Their roster is, guys are listed the way, you know, there are the guys that, you know, like Artrell Hawkins, for example, was always listed as a DB.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not a corner, not a safety, he's a defensive back. That's not by chance. That's not just, well, I'll just throw him down there.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting when they all of a sudden have a guy go from offensive lineman to a center.
Well, they want him to, it's more for him, to think of himself that way. You're not any one thing. Think of yourself as a multi.
And that's fine. Now they're asking him to
exactly
think of himself
the reason,
as a center.
But on the opposite, exactly. They want Hochstein to start thinking of himself
as a center.
Starting center
of the New England Patriots.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly the reasoning that the coaching staff has. I just know that
it's all mind work.
I just know that it's a good one. That's all.
To me, that's the most.
You got that right.
Patrick Pass, we all said, maybe cut.
Right.
Randall Gay.
Let's talk about Gay for a second because we're talking about defensive backs. Do you think his spot on the roster is secure?
I got to be honest with you. I'm starting to take. We talked about safeties before with Sanders and Gus Scott. Randall Gay to me is now Gus Scott. You're too much of a question mark. I can't count on you for anything anymore. And he was hurt in college. He was hurt here.
I think he's a nice story. I think he played as well as could be expected 2 years ago when he filled in when all of those guys were out. As an undrafted guy with very little experience, I thought he played, as well, like I said, as well as you could expect. But I don't think that a guy like that goes year to year to year with a lock to make the team. Now,
see, if he's healthy, I'll take him. He's one of my top corners.
If I had to say either way, he's on the team, if I had to say right now.
But I'm not confident putting
him
on the roster, because in a week later, he's going to be on IR, and I'm screwed.
You know, a guy like Eugene Wilson, that's a lock.
Right.
You know, Ellis Hobbs, he's a lock. I don't put Randall Gay in that category.
So if he can't get on the field at all in training
camp,
then he's in big trouble.
But here's the thing. How much of it is, and, you know, this has gone on. I'm not saying this is what these guys are doing, but you make an injury a little worse than it is. They can't cut me if I'm injured. Hey, it happens.
Maybe he hasn't played for Belichick.
Be honest, I brought that theory up with Patrick Pass. Because that he might see the writing on the wall and goes, well, if I'm hurt, they can't really cut me.
But does that matter with Belichick? Well, doesn't he just cut whoever he wants
to cut? Then you have to do an injury settlement.
Well, then you can
grievance. You're not allowed to cut a guy because of an injury.
Oh, right.
The other part of that we probably should explain. Most everyone knows the whole deal with the PUP in training camp.
Some emails have come in asking to explain the PUP.
When you open training camp on PUP, that means that you are not allowed to practice. Now, that doesn't mean anything in terms of the regular season, that whole six-week window that everybody knows about. As long as you're on, and I believe it's designated as active PUP. I'm not positive on the specific, wording of that team. But if Harrison doesn't practice all of training camp, you know, he could still be put on the roster and open the season ready to go in week one. That's the decision that can be made. Now, once any of these individuals begins to practice, he is taken off that PU list, and PUP to open the regular season is out of
the PU list.
Right.
That's out of the list.
Right.
But I got a question for you guys. These guys like Nick Kazier and Randall Gay, that we don't really know exactly what their ailment is specifically. You know, we can't say that Kazier's had surgery on his shoulder. Like, we're not really sure. Is there a chance that these guys have rehab from their injury a little bit, but just aren't in good enough shape to pass
absolutely.
The
absolutely, yeah, no question.
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what it is.
I would assume that's the
pass
spot they're
physical.
In.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay.
And but the key is you can't go on regular season PUP if you're not on training camp.
Right. PUP. If you don't, like, Rodney is a candidate, and, you know, who knows, maybe Copen is too, which would be a bigger issue, as Andy pointed out, to open the season on physically unable to perform. And if that happens, they can't, you have to open training camp on PUP. You can't
right.
practice
you
for
can't
a week.
Be put on right. PUP after training camp opens.
Right. You can't practice right. for a week, turn your ankle, and then be put on PUP to start the season. You have to open camp on PUP
that's
not
correct.
Practice.
And once you practice, you have to come off the list.
Right.
Now,
in theory.
And I've wear asked, a different jersey number for a long snap.
I've
long
asked this question before, but you know my short attention span. Will we know the names of the people that didn't pass the
no.
conditioning
no.
run or whatever?
We will know the names of the people who didn't practice. Okay. The reason why they didn't practice, other
various
than the
reasons.
List that we know of PUP, will be speculation.
Okay.
Right.
On our part, or the part of the media.
And some of the media probably will have more information than others regarding that. I would think that...
So if we see Jonathan Sullivan not practicing, we're going to have a pretty good idea why, but we won't know officially.
We won't know for sure. Yeah.
Right.
And they are taking that today, I believe, the conditioning run?
Tomorrow morning
I believe.
Is the conditioning run.
No, what's today's day?
Thursday morning is the conditioning.
That's what I was told. That doesn't mean it was right. I was told Thursday morning they would be running.
That is correct. That is correct. There are conditioning runs going on as of, I think, Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, I would think the rookies probably
ones.
Already took them.
There
yeah.
was some early ones, but the
first
the
thing
official
I do.
Big one there, you know, that's Thursday morning.
Should we also bring up the fact that Maroney is yet unsigned here? Is that an issue at all?
I don't
Anybody?
Think it's a big deal.
He's the only guy. We should bring up the point that everyone signed except him.
But right. we also should bring up the point that most first-rounders haven't signed yet.
Right.
So
his agent's probably waiting
I
to
was
see.
Telling Kyle upstairs, that's kind of something that like six or seven of them will all sign in one day. And once the ball gets rolling, it kind of
right.
goes pretty quickly.
I want to see what the guy behind yeah. me in front of me is getting. You know.
Well, there was Pro Football Talk again brought up the Huff contract in Oakland may have kind of thrown a wrench in contract signings because he signed a 5-year deal and up to the 16th pick can sign 6-year deals, but he was the ninth pick, seventh pick.
Wait a minute, Andy. Are you telling me that the Raiders screwed up things for the rest of the league?
I'm potentially, and that the picks, you know, the sequential picks behind him through 16 are going to say, well, I want to sign a 5-year deal. I want to be a free agent a year earlier rather than sign a 6. So
what
that
I
could
think
throw
is funny about
it.
That is the Raiders are generally blamed by Pro Football Talk as being the team that started the whole. You know, forcing the second round picks to sign 5-year deals, which, you know,
Patriots got blamed.
Branch's agent, Gene Upshaw, the head buffoon in charge of the Players Association that has those guys playing for nothing out there with no guarantees, blames the Patriots for that. You know, and evidently the Patriots weren't the first one.
So we got a lot on our plate, a lot to talk about, got a lot of emails.
Yeah,
we haven't even mentioned
that's the 1% of his association is taken care of. Good job,
Gene. We haven't even mentioned that the commissioner search is down to 11, and by August...
Down to 11?
Yeah, they're going to have...
Are you a candidate? 11?
All right, so Gary, don't want to interrupt what you're doing.
Oh, I would never
take a break
this early.
We'll be right back.
Never take a break this early.
From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Tom Brady watches a 60-yard.
Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pre-game field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Hi, this is Taylor Twellman with your New England Revolution. Learn to play like the pros at Revolution Academy.
Great free kick, diving header by Dempsey.
The Revolution Academy is now enrolling for the 2006 season and has designed innovative, challenging, and skill-specific curriculums for all age groups. Learn how to develop your game, see how the pros practice, and even get tickets to see a Revolution match. By the end of the program, you'll have learned the skills to play like a pro.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! Taylor Twellman!
The Revolution Academy is coming to Cranston, Swansea, Somerset, Tewksbury, Sudbury, Beverly, Foxborough, Smithfield, Westwood, Marshfield, Bedford, New Hampshire, and Portland. To find a session in a town near you or to register, call 508-384-9242. That's 508-384-9242. Or log on to revolutionsoccer.net and score a goal with the Revolution Academy.
Revolution.
All right, we're back here at PFW in Progress. Tom's mad at me because I took a break too early.
He considers himself an Iron Man host.
Well, we took a break, and that was a minute and 30 seconds that we weren't talking about the Patriots. Tom doesn't like that.
Yeah. Neither do the fans.
Tom's catering to the fans, all three of them.
Andy's a man of the people. I'm a man of Patriots Nation.
Okay. We'll see.
This shameless attempt to suck up to Patriots Nation is really embarrassing.
We'll see when the Patriots lose two in a row and these guys are circling like vultures if you cave. I hope you don't.
You see what happens?
I don't cave.
You see what happens to me? I make a couple of comments.
I got them in the Super Bowl. So how many in a row did you say they're going to lose?
I said they might lose two in a row.
I didn't hear Mike. You said we'll see when they lose two in a row.
Oh, it could be now or it could be 2 years.
That's funny that he would
now.
Say that. When was the last time they lost two in a row, Andy?
Interesting. I don't know when.
All of a sudden, he's just assuming they're going to lose two in a row.
They never lose two in a row.
They haven't lost two in a row since 2002.
And they won't
this year. Didn't lose two in a row last year?
Nope.
I thought they broke the win-loss streak.
Yeah, by winning two in a row. If
okay.
Put it in the books, Fred. Patriots, Tampa Bay, in Miami. It's in the books.
I like it.
Don't even believe your own crap.
Tampa Bay stays in it for a half. Patriots defense too much in the second half. They pull away.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. I'm on board.
I figured you would be.
I'm right with you.
Because the Patriots are better than fill in the blank. Fill in blank here.
But, you know, you make fun of me for, you know, being excited about this franchise. I think I have kind of
I think
reason.
We're all very excited right now, first of all, because training camp is set to go, so I don't think you're alone in your excitement.
But
we make fun
of
you because you just say they're better. You don't have any reasoning. You just—it's blind faith. You don't even analyze it. You don't even pretend to analyze it.
Are there any question marks in your mind?
You don't have any idea what the plan is yet. You say it's a good one.
But there are question marks with every team.
But are there significant question marks?
And I think this team is more equipped to deal with adversity than other teams.
See, now let me give you
why.
Because we have Belichick and
Brady. I agree.
Tom Casale argument that he uses very often.
Best coach,
only
best
in the
quarterback.
Last paragraph of every story.
Best coach, best quarterback. What other team has it, Fred?
That's right.
Ooh, Tom Brady was going to make Ray Ventrone a future Pro Bowler.
Fred, but
there's
right.
still time for a Bubba.
Fred, if you want to look at it that way, and look, I think the Patriots are, you know, hands down the favorite in the AFC East and will be a contender for the Super Bowl because of... Yeah, I had a little burp coming up and I tried to suppress it. Didn't work. Anyway...
He hardly noticed.
Pat him on the back a little bit. He's got some gas.
I think that they're clearly one of the favorites in the AFC. However, don't just sit there and say, you know, they're more equipped than other teams. I think they're less equipped this year to deal with the adversity that they've had to deal with the last several years... In that time frame, if they get the amount of injuries that they've had the last couple of years this year, on paper, I would look at that team and say they're less prepared to deal with that than ever.
I would agree with that in the linebacker area.
In the defensive back area?
Secondary.
The wide receiver area? I mean,
linebacker is
several areas.
It's in the 3-4 defense. You
maybe even argue O-line right now.
Upgraded. On running back and offensive backfield.
But we were talking about linebacker.
D-line will be good.
You know, I'm doing the story for the paper about the depth at linebacker.
They've upgraded their depth at running back. Yes, I would agree with that. What other position have they upgraded the depth at?
Oh, I would say defensive line is pretty solid.
Have they upgraded?
How did they upgrade it?
You have what you had last year.
Plus
a tub of goo who got arrested.
I like Mike Wright. He's second season though. I think he'll.
I like him too, but they had him last year. I mean, you haven't really done much to upgrade.
For an undrafted
right, and that's fine. No, but they didn't bring anybody in to upgrade the position.
I think we like Mike Wright.
Right.
I like.
We're talking about positions they upgraded that they're better.
I think just the fact that Mankins has it now a year under his belt, I think the offensive line will be better.
But
than
it's
last
not.
But
it's
not upgraded.
No, but I think it will play better.
Right now, Copen's not playing. Kazier's not playing. Tom Ashworth's in Seattle. I mean,
big loss there.
Yeah.
Oh, you put him in with the mix of greatness. No, I'm just saying, why are they better equipped? What if Copen and Kazier are hurt? What if they are hurt and not on the roster?
Tom has made the point about running backs a lot, and I think it's a good one. I mean, last year, you know, you had guys like Patrick Pass and Heath Evans and making, you know, serious contributions carrying the football. Well, now you don't have to worry about that if Corey Dillon
and we've given that position
or isn't. But beyond
that,
that's
upgraded.
But nowhere else have they upgraded.
Beyond that, I think that you're dealing with the natural progression of improvement, like Mankins and some of the other guys.
Ellis Hobbs.
Yeah, but I don't think depth-wise, if you lose one of the three big linebackers, you're dead.
They're in trouble.
Yeah, I agree with that. That is a concern.
Because doing that story, the names I was writing, I just thought to myself, dear Lord, is this guy going to actually be playing if someone gets hurt? You know what I mean? Like contributing big time if someone gets hurt? I just can't see it.
The flip side of that, you know, Patriots fans could certainly argue the football gods have really hit the Patriots hard the last couple of years with injuries. Maybe this year be one of those years that you go through without, you know, a tremendous amount of significant
injuries. In one area.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
you're going to have injuries.
Right. I mean, yeah, you're never going to go with 16 starters on offense and defense.
But see,
I mean, now with 11 starters on offense and defense.
You said one area. See, now that's what concerns me because injuries seem to follow age, and where they're the oldest is at linebacker. And I'm a little perplexed why they haven't gotten younger at that position with maybe some higher draft picks. I mean, I don't know. I'm not.
Well,
as
we know, you know, this was the first year that there were decent linebackers. I think they've been kind of, you know, they felt that they're just guys out there that we can get or want to get from the draft. And I think it's just a matter of timing. I think they want to upgrade. I want, you know.
Well, in the next couple of years, how do you see them reshaping that linebacker position?
I would hope they're going to go spend some money on some talent, you know, free agent-wise.
All right.
I would
hope.
I
think there's some truth to the draft thing. I think that they haven't really been overly enamored with the crop coming out of college the last couple of years. This year, I think, was an exception. Just think it didn't really fall right for them.
Yeah.
I think Bobby Carpenter was a guy they probably had some interest in.
Yeah.
And some of those other guys that got drafted.
There was probably maybe a good chance they were going to draft one, maybe an Abdul Hodge in the second round until Chad Jackson slipped and they said, we've got to get this guy
happen.
In the first round.
Yeah.
I think that had things fallen a little bit differently in those first couple of rounds, we could have very easily seen two defensive players gotten paid.
I can't believe that they're looking at that roster and not saying the same thing we're saying.
Right.
I can't believe that.
No, that's absolutely correct.
You know, so
but at some point, if you push it off too long, then you force yourself to do something about it.
Right.
Which gets back to Tom's, you know, premise. Do they look at it and say, we have enough, because our division's down, we have enough to at least get in the playoffs, and then obviously, you know, break out the Brady-Belichick thing.
Right.
We have a shot in the playoffs.
But
and that makes it a good shot.
And then maybe
Teddy Bruschi goes down week two.
And
I'm not saying you have enough.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's always chances.
I think he might be the worst.
After Brady and Seymour, I got to agree with you.
I mean, if Colvin goes down, okay, maybe we can get by.
I think Vrabel and Brewski are, you know, I think Vrabel is every bit as instrumental as Brewski. And I know that's probably because I like Vrabel as much. But I think what he did last year, moving inside and showing his
versatility. Maybe that's what they do. Maybe they'd move him inside again.
Well, they would have to.
I just think they're hurting more on the inside. So if Brewski went down, you'd have to move Vrabel inside. Then you get this whole domino effect.
Exactly.
But if you lost one of the outside guys, I think you're hurting every bit as much on the outside.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but Andy, you don't think that the offensive line is a little bit more secure with Ryan O'Callaghan and Dan Stevenson? I know you're going to say they're rookies, but
I mean, in the past you had veterans, guys that were in your system. I know they should. In theory, they're more talented. These are drafted guys, but you had veterans, guys who had played here and there, been active, been in the. Now you have less of those. I mean, you have Murchkowski
and Gorin. You know, for example, last year, as opposed to O'Callaghan and Stevenson,
right.
I'd
feel better, and it's worked both ways. Copen came in, he was thrown out as a starter, and he's now the guy we're lamenting not being out there.
Right.
But I just think you lost some of the veteran, or they've been bumped up. The Hochstein is now a starter. Gorin is now a starter, in theory, right now.
Right.
Ashworth's in Seattle. You're going to count on maybe some of those guys if Copen and Kazier aren't ready to go.
Yeah, I think we can count on them. I think we might be able to count on them, though. I think O'Callaghan might have been the best
super fan over
offensive
here.
Lineman in the Packers.
Kyle, don't let these guys get you down.
You think that Ryan O'Callaghan was the best offensive...
Wait a minute.
He just made a statement here.
Okay.
Let's talk about him. Let's get him up over 100
words.
Don't
let him get you down, Kyle.
Right, Ryan O'Callaghan, you think, was the best offensive lineman in the draft last year?
No, I said in the Pac-10.
Oh.
I think he could.
I don't think he was in the Pac-10 either, but, you know, those USC guys are pretty good.
Oh, you mean he wasn't in the ISU?
He won the award.
He won that.
No, I know, but I mean,
the Pac-10 offensive lineman of the year, or whatever.
Award, yeah.
No, that's one. You know, that doesn't make him better than the guys that were taken in the first and second round, or the second round.
No,
those jerks from USC that had character issues, they all fall out of the first round.
They fell out of the first round. Winston Justice was in the second round.
But the
other guy, the guard,
Deuce Latuhi,
he didn't have character issues. They were worried more of a weight problem.
He
was like him.
Plus, he's a guard.
Yeah.
I like him.
I like him, too.
He's going to be a player.
Okay.
I just am never... And, yeah, maybe Callaghan would be great. I think he has the pure natural talent, the size, everything, but putting that together and blocking Tom Brady's growing size is different.
Would you guys agree that we don't really know how good Nick Cashier is yet either? I mean, he's played half a season. He had a lot of help with Graham. I think it takes more than just a few games for you to analyze somebody.
No question.
All right, let's get to some email, shall we? Okay. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482. What are you looking at, Andy?
What's that football over there?
It's a little football.
Can I have it?
Nope, because you're going to start throwing it around, distracting people.
I agree.
And you're going to knock over a Pepsi, and it's going to be a problem.
I agree.
Retiring thing, so.
All right.
We took this approach.
Little football, is that bringing up
Did you read that email?
Gary looking
playing,
back for me, it's
Doug
been
21 still at
years.
The podium.
Gary playing the live broadcast at Doug Flutie's retirement press conference. Reminded me, there was a tease
this game,
last night.
Else.
Yeah.
What was that all about? Doug Flutie thinking of coming back somewhere? Pro football, not. Anybody know anything?
Was the tease on SportsCenter or something?
No, it was on on Nessun or Fox Sports.
Yeah, it was something baseball
lines,
related
yes.
that I was watching.
I am officially retiring, guys.
I didn't see the
who's coming back?
If any of the fans know what that was about, email in about.
Yes, it's on Nessun.
I totally disregard it.
You know what?
I don't look for them for news.
The guy's got a job as a college football analyst. Just stay there. You know,
approach it.
Don't come back and play Canadian football.
Well, maybe he'll go to baseball now that Harold Reynolds is out.
That's true. He can do anything.
Yeah,
that's true.
None of it well, but he can do it.
Oh, jeez.
He'll need a couple phone books on the chair.
I'm going to disagree with you there. He's a pretty good drop kicker.
Okay.
All right, this
one for one.
In the last
this email
years.
Came in last week after Tom's gig as host. He says, note to Tom, for the record, I didn't expect you to read the first few items of my last email on the air. This is from John in L.A. My apologies for assuming your gig as fledgling host would include actually reviewing the emails prior to your mic going hot. Really good effort. How to hustle. Just kidding, sort of. You're good people. And your suggestion of Steve Smith as a guy you'd like to take off another team and put on the patch was spot on.
Yeah, apologies to John. His was like the first or second email I read, and that's when I was all discombobulated. I didn't know what buttons to push.
That was when he had to read the signs.
Buttons here.
Read the email address.
He had to read the email address off the window.
I was a little nervous. What do you want?
That's all right.
Human.
That's
but,
okay.
John, just so you know, we don't have time to read the emails before we actually put them on the air. So.
Well, actually, we do, but we don't.
Generally, they come in
Fred
live.
What?
I said, I don't get the emails. You get them.
Right. Tom wouldn't have been able to
write
them prior. On to football. One, does Pepper Johnson want to become a defensive coordinator someday, or is he satisfied being a positional coach? I've been impressed with him, but would like some continuity in the staff and would hate to see him leave for a coordinator post somewhere in 2007.
How have you been impressed with him? That's what I would ask.
I have no idea about his...
impressed with him with the Dirty Show team. I think he's one of those energetic football coaches that teams need, and he fills part of that role in the Patriots.
That doesn't necessarily translate to he's
and
a
I'm assuming
coach
he's a decent coach because he wouldn't be here.
I'm going to say he's going to be a good defensive coordinator, and the only reason I say that is because any time Belichick is talking about the Giants, he mentions Pepper Johnson. Pepper did this. Pepper did that. So he must have been a smart football player.
Right.
And
yeah, if I had to lay odds, I would agree with Tom because of the fact that not only the Giants, but he's with Belichick a lot of different players. You know, Cleveland and the Jets. So he's been around Belichick a lot, and you got to figure he soaked up a lot
of
that.
Right.
But
I don't. There's nothing. I mean, I can't say Richard Seymour has been to four Pro Bowls. Let's give Pepper Johnson the credit.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, but so does Romeo Crennel and Charlie Weiss.
Yep. Okay,
but I do think he wants to be a coordinator.
Why wouldn't he?
That I have no idea.
Gotten that impression.
Andy's talked to Pepper Johnson.
That might be
something. Actually, I don't think I've ever had a conversation with him.
Oh, I like him.
That might be something where he starts as a college coordinator, you know, something like that. And move
but I would say, yeah, I don't know. I think he would like to be. How it plays out, I'm not sure how it would, but.
Okay.
Tom and I met him at the combine in the hallway, and Tom introduced himself. Tom was very excited. Tom goes, that's Pepper Johnson.
Two, there was a story soon after the draft mentioning Dean Pease at the Patriots draft
guy.
Party.
I told you that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, Fred.
There was a story soon after the draft mentioning Dean Pease at the Patriots draft party. He said something about Beisel's performance at the beginning of the season compared to the end as being like night and day. That may well be true, but Beisel was so bad, so lost during the early part of the season, that being like night and day may not be sufficient. What is your sense of his progress, and do you think Pease may have been overstating things a bit, given he was talking at a fan event?
I'm sorry, when did Beisel play? That Jacksonville game? Is that what we're talking
about? He played
down
the stretch when Bruschi got hurt, yeah.
Yeah.
He got hurt against the Jets,
I
want to say.
I got news for you. Me and Andy could have lined up against Jacksonville, and they would have won that game. That team sucks. They suck. They really do.
Their offense does.
Well, I'm going to say, out of all the teams we covered last year, that was the team I was least impressed with. But I think we have to wait and see him this year next to Bruschi in the lineup. You know, as bad as he played, there's not a word that can describe Chad Brown. They haven't invented one yet. Go look in the dictionary. There's not one there. That guy got pushed
all over. He was so miscast as an inside linebacker. You know, it was funny at times. I mean, even Fred, even you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the homer extraordinaire.
I don't know if I was sitting next to you or we just talked about it after the game, in the Denver game during the season,
right,
when he basically got hit by a blocker and folded up with his ankles by his head.
No, it's true. It was something.
It was laughable.
If you saw it in a movie, you'd say, oh, they could have put a little realism
right,
into
right.
this movie.
Like a water
I've never seen anybody get killed like that.
He was folded in half.
Fred admitted it. I mean, this is a guy that defends Dan Klecko.
It was like this guy was doing yoga. I mean, he was that. You know, and I know he's not that flexible.
And
yeah.
The other thing I'd say with him is he's been quick to point out how vanilla the defense was early in the year when they really struggled, and that cut down some of its productivity. And we've also seen some hints of that the defense is going to be better off with Dean Pease in charge. And I don't want to say that it's necessarily shots at Mangini, but if you're talking to a lot of defensive players, they've talked about his knowledge, his stature, his just the comfort level he brings to the defense. And I feel like the players might be a little more confident in Dean Pease than they were in Eric Mangini.
Okay. Fred, and following up on that, I'm not sure if you were around when we talked about this, but I think the three of us agree on this. We were actually speculating during minicamp, watching Pease in the way he kind of commanded the field in a way that we never really saw Mangini do during training camp last year. Mm-hmm. And we all were wondering, do you think if Dean Pease, say, was the linebackers coach for 3 years here, 2 years ago when Romeo left,
right,
I think maybe he would have gotten the nod over
Mangini,
Eric as the defensive coordinator. And based on what I saw and what I've seen, I think there may have been a possibility of that. I haven't really, you know, gotten anybody, you know, just the veterans that talk about it keep saying
it's
how
phrases
how,
and just
how he is so much more.
Well, I heard one of the things I read that one of you guys wrote. I forget which one of it.
Jeez, I gotta take a leap so bad I can taste it.
That he brought a youthful approach to, you know, the position, right, which can be good or bad.
That's what I mean. Yeah. It's not. No one came out and said Eric Mangini stunk and was overwhelmed.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't think that's
right.
Think that's
I don't
true
either, and I don't fault
I'm
him because
excited to be a head coach.
You look at Dean Pease, he's been a head coach. He has been a defensive coordinator.
What you guys are saying is true, then Mangini is going to have some problems. If he can't command a defense, how's he going to command a team?
Well, I think he's going to have some problems.
That's the Jets' problem now.
Well, but we all talked about that
when,
you know, Gary just played a clip of it. When we listened to that press conference and we were all looking
he's
at each
smart
other like,
he's really smart.
How many cliches is he going to get out there in this thing?
It's one thing to put in a Belichick-type system somewhere, but it's another thing to actually implement it and, you know, follow it through.
It's also one thing to do it in.
I mean, and these players, these guys are like dogs. I mean, they sense fear. They sense indecision. They want to be told what to do every minute of the day. That's how they get the most out of them.
And to combat our points, too, I'll also admit that, you know, things didn't go really well early in the year last year. So what do players do? They find a reason why.
Right.
Well, it was vanilla. We didn't do this. Mangini wasn't experienced enough. There's always a reason. You know, it's never the player's fault.
Right.
But if he's, I mean, as you said, it's one thing to put a Belichick
system
in. But I'm
not Bill Belichick.
But to put it in New York as a first-time 30-something head coach.
Well, you don't let anyone talk to the media.
Good luck with that.
Wrapping up John in L.A.'s email, he says, setting aside current contractual obligations, if Bill Belichick retired tomorrow, which coach do you think could come in and best maintain the track this team is on? Here's a list of possibilities. Jim Schwartz, John Fox, Charlie Weiss, Kurt Ferentz, Romeo Crennel, Pat Hill, Dean Pease, Urban Meyer, or Dante Scarnecchia.
Well, I don't think Fox or any of the other NFL guys, Crennel, are options.
Well, he says, forget about contractual,
okay,
of that list.
I like John Fox.
I like Fox. I think, but I like Fisher too.
I love
Jeff
Fox,
Fisher.
And I think Jeff Fisher. Would
I
be
think a, those are two of the best coaches in the NFL.
Yeah.
But let's get rid of those and let's go to the ones that might be legitimate candidates: Ferentz, Hill, Schwartz. Who else is on
Did you
there?
Grab Weiss. Charlie Weiss away from Notre Dame?
I think Fisher could be a legitimate possibility.
Well, let's just say be out. I'm just saying college guys that more like he has to be fired for him to be. I would
go away from Urban Meyer. I know him and Bill are buddies and everything.
I don't think
I
that
love
would
him.
Even be
when
a
you when you find a way to misuse Chris Leak, who I believe is going to be a great NFL quarterback, you haven't won me over. So out of that crew, if I had to pick a college guy, I'd go with Pat Hill. Because he took an abysmal program, and I mean he's probably cheating a little bit, but
when you look trying if you ain't cheating.
So, but I mean he's really turned that around, and there's a lot of players in the NFL now from Fresno State. Yep. So he's not he just doesn't produce a good college team. He's producing good players.
So John puts a shout out finally to Sonny McClain's, which is a noted Boston bar in the L.A. area that I know for a fact that a lot of Patriots fans gather.
You've been there.
No,
used
but
to live there.
I know from the
he lived upstairs.
I know from the Patriots.com fan club registry that's a big hangout for Patriots fans. So
we have a Patriots.com fan club registry.
Yes, we do.
And what does that do?
If you have a fan club,
I am sure I have a fan club out there somewhere. I'm a man of the people.
And you have at least 10 members. You can register your fan club on Patriots.com.
And how many are there? And where are they
We've
located?
We've got right now 34 different clubs registered.
Where is the furthest?
I think there's one in Belgium. There's one in Skin. Yeah, they're all over the world.
Were you just going to say there was one in Scandinavia?
Well,
that's what it sounds like.
You know what I'm
going to
do? I'm going to start my own website, IHateAndyHart.com, and see how many people I can get there.
All right. Colin from...
Could be Colin.
Could be Colin.
Hey, what's this, amateur hour? Come on, Fred.
from Bedfordshire, or Bedfordshire, England. He says, how much do you think the development of a strong running game is an insurance policy against a Brady injury, i.e. Castle could hand the ball off if needed? Okay.
They need to be more balanced for the offense, not necessarily because they're afraid of Branch getting hurt.
But I think you need a strong Brady running game, period.
Yeah.
And,
right.
And that is an insurance policy against a bad passing game. Period.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the Patriots are a little bit different than the Chicago Bears. If Rex Grossman gets hurt, going to Brian Greasy isn't the worst thing in the world. You're talking about Tom Brady, so you really can't have a backup for him, because if he gets hurt, the drop-off is going to be immense, no matter who it is.
Two, I've listened with interest about the Branch negotiations, but can you explain to me the following? In the Pats organization, who is actually involved in the negotiations? Does it happen with everyone in a room, on a phone, email, etc.? And who makes the final decisions on each side?
I'm going BlackBerry. Everything seems to be getting done by BlackBerry these days, even though I don't
involved.
Have
I don't know exactly what the setup what is. I mean, Belichick and Pioli are obviously strongly involved.
It depends on the player a lot, too.
Right. Well, I mean, the guys that he's talking about. I think lower level draft picks, then Jack Mueller might be involved in those negotiations. But Lawrence Maroney, I would guess that Scott Pioli or, a top flight free agent, if we're talking about Richard Seymour's negotiations last year, Scott Pioli would be the guy involved
Pioli
in that. But I don't know if you're in a room with the agent and the player. And
I think it's some of all of those.
Yeah,
probably a lot of
some emails, there's some faxes, there's some phone calls, there's some face-to-face. There's
you get an idea, boom.
Right, all of the above.
But, I mean, I don't want to mislead the email. We're not really privy to that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's not like, because we work at the stadium, we're down the hall.
Yeah, we're not allowed down that hall.
Yeah.
Pioli
goes, hey, Jason Shiat just called us. He wants to negotiate.
That name?
I don't know. I was just throwing it out there.
I don't know how to pronounce the name.
Gary writes in, last week when I asked who this summer's training camp diary was going to be written by, you guys asked for suggestions. I kept to your criteria, no high-profile players and no rookies, so here we go. One is Marquise Hill. He's been around long enough. Maybe we fans could gain some insight to what's up with this guy.
Why he stinks.
Two, Nick Kazier. It's only his second year, but I think he'd have good perspective. Three, Monty Bizzell. Could be volatile or could be articulate. Either way, makes for good reading. Four, Don Davis. Seems like a personable guy and has lots of experience. Five, Brandon Gorn is the quiet type. Six, to Bucky Jones, back on the team, so training camp, then, now.
Bucky Jones.
Josh Miller, always good for a chuckle. So one more thing, Gary, more info on the new Touchdown song. He wants to be informed about that, Gary.
Well, Marquise Hill isn't an option because we'd have to do 3 years of training camp just to get one page from him. He answers all your questions with one word answer, so he wouldn't be necessarily an option. Paul, do you want to mention
it's going to be a little different this year, right?
Yeah, and rather than a diary, we're going to do a segment that we're going to call From the Inside Out. And it's basically going to be, you know, a player's, you know, an insider's look at what's going on a daily basis at training camp. And we're going to try to do a different guy every week. And some of the players that we're interested in getting are Benjamin Watson, Trell Hawkins, Jarvis Green might be one, you know, maybe Ellis Hobbs if we can get him.
Right.
And maybe Kevin Falk, who is kind of quiet for this kind of thing. That's our concern about
him.
But he
likes you.
He loves us. He loves PFW in general. He's very good to us.
I think we send it to the whole Falk family in Louisiana. So, but it's a little different in a diary, whereas a diary is more I.
We're trying to get away from that a little bit and go more about what the team is doing.
Yeah, from an insider.
It'll be first person.
It'll be we're going to do it first person and try to do it that way. And instead of maybe breaking it up every day. You know, that this way, if we miss a day here or there, which is that's the toughest part of the diary is to get somebody to commit to talking to you every day.
Right.
So we thought that this might be a little bit easier on the players. And in working with the team, we're willing to, you know, give up some of the
stuff. Hey, Gary, any news about the Touchdown song that you want to share with our listeners?
How's that poll going?
Little Eric Carmen?
That'll be Andy after we go to the Super Bowl. Because we'll all be partying. He'll be in the other room.
I don't get it.
You know, well, we're going to be happy that they won, and you won't. You'll be the only one.
Why am I Mr. Negative? He's Mr. Negative.
I don't
Negative
know if you heard
now.
My comments from earlier in the show about the extensions before the free agency and the prohibitive favorites in the AFC. I don't know if you heard this.
I've guaranteed.
And Tom is guaranteed a spot in the Super Bowl.
Anything, Gary? Anything you want to share? You got to put your mic on.
Look for an online poll on Patriots.com.
Oh!
When?
Ooh. Oh!
Talk to Fred Kirsch.
Okay. When's the poll going?
I actually know about this, but I'm letting Gary.
I was going to say, how come Fred was so surprised?
So when's the poll?
We don't know yet. Sometime in the preseason, I think Gary has.
Who wants to know?
No, Gary has done a lot of research, and I think he's got it down to five or six really good songs.
Can we hear one?
And I think he's going to. No, don't do anything yet, Gary. You know, and we're going to open it up to the fan base.
No, don't do anything.
And you'll actually, you can listen to the song before you vote.
Gary, can we get a little Cartman involved somehow in game day
Abbo
presentation?
Get voted down.
What Earth, Wind, and Fire? Is that one of the one of the choices?
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Let's groove tonight. Could do that. Could go in that direction. Boogie Wonderland is always a solid choice.
All right.
We're going to try to bring it into like you know, the modern times.
There was no good songs made before 1985 either. So.
See if we can get some Cartman involved, people will be up and.
How about Save the Orphans?
Save the Orphans.
Some of them don't even have parents.
Well, maybe if Flutie comes back, we can play that song "Blame It on Canada."
That's kind of the way I wanted to direct it initially, but everybody.
All right,
Bleepin' Bleeper,
Uncle Bleeper,
Ryan from Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada. Do you guys have any idea what happened to Kazier? We kind of talked about that. He's just wondering. He likes him because you know he's from Canada, and so is Ryan
Molson.
Brian Lowe seems like a good journalist. On another note, but I must admit, I laugh when you guys beat up on him. I hope your bosses know that we, the fans, enjoy your good-natured semantics.
Don't think this has anything to do with you know, that pencil neck geek Lowe.
You know, Fred's one of the bosses, quote unquote.
By the way,
boss.
In case you guys, and I'm sure Andy hasn't, because he doesn't go on our own website.
I tried today and it wouldn't load on my computer. Thanks for the laptop, it doesn't work.
By the way, but there is a video that they just did, a man on the street, Eric Scalavino and Bob Doyle stepped out from behind the computer and went out with microphones. And interviewed guys, people in Boston. Very funny. The last video I think they put up last week. So check it out.
It's still up there, isn't
it? Yeah, check it out. It's about a 14-minute show, but it's very, very funny.
There's also a new Patriots.com.
Well, it's not an
updated
We revamped the homepage a little bit, put a little bit more emphasis on news. There's a little fly-out box in the media. We reorganized the audio and video a little bit. Did some graphic work, so... check that out. That went live this morning.
And so. Apparently on any computer in America except my laptop, it's pretty cool.
Why? You don't have Flash?
I don't know. It doesn't work.
Yeah, I couldn't get the Flash thing to run.
God.
My laptop's a joke.
We got to get complicated now, Fred. What are you doing, like, with the Jets do? You got to load stuff to see the web page? I'm totally against that. If
you don't have Flash, it defaults to something very nice.
Yeah,
a blank black screen on my computer.
Look, Tom doesn't like fancy things. He just wants the information.
Right.
That's why he's the host of the people.
Right. You're right.
You don't like the Tampa Bay site because they're blowing whistles and singing songs.
That's the balance that we... And you're right, Tom. We try to address people like you.
I can't have three sentences worth of a conversation with Tom without him referencing Seinfeld, but if we do that on the show, Tom gets very offended that we're going off topic.
I never said anything about referencing Seinfeld.
Do you have the DVDs?
Hello, Norman.
I don't have the DVDs, because they're on eight times a day.
They're in his head.
He doesn't need... He knows every episode. DVDs.
All right.
He gets to quote Seinfeld to me like every 10 minutes and call me.
He does it so much to me. There are times that I don't know the episode that he's talking about. That's how obscure some of his
references.
It's
become a major part of his personality. I think we can say
part.
Nick writes in from Boston by way of San Diego. He says his subject line says Ty Law is a whore. that's all he's saying about Ty Law. He goes on to say, "Who is Kieran Henry? I followed him in the draft pretty closely, and I've never heard of him." I followed the draft pretty closely and never heard of him. Is he from UConn?
Yeah, he's from UConn.
Yeah. Will Trevor Price play defensive tackle or defensive end for the Ravens? Question.
I'd say end, but they can move him. He's like Seymour, where they can move him around a bit, but he prefers to play end. That's his best spot.
He also asks, does Cedric Cobbs have a shot at a job in Denver?
Well, as I just wrote for Fantasy Football Magazine, is one of my big sleepers at running back, Cedric Cobbs. Yeah. I've always loved him. It's coming out of college. You know, you guys told me he kind of didn't have it inside when he was here.
Oh, Andy loved him because he can run backwards.
Don't they run forward in Denver?
I loved him. I'm not getting fooled by that one again.
Well, he has that cutback running style. And if you look at Denver, Tatum Bell's fragile. Ron Dane sucks. He's living off of one run in overtime against the Cowboys, and people think he's going to have this breakout year. If Tatum Bell gets injured, you're down to Ron Dane and Cedric Cobbs. And you're telling me you can't see Cedric Cobbs getting on the field?
That was one thing when I watched that ESPN thing, the NFL live show with Merrill Hodge, that he said. One of the few things that panel said that I strongly agreed with. Neither one of those guys is capable of doing what Denver needs for that whole
They got rid
system.
Of Mike Anderson.
Neither one of those guys is a 20 carry a game back, in my opinion.
From Colorado.
I think
you have any insight on that?
Well, I think you're still looking for Maurice Clarett?
Hey.
Everybody
liked Maurice Clarett at one point when he played for Ohio. I don't know. I mean, they lost Anderson to the Ravens. Price is there. I mean, I don't know. Tatum Bell is pretty much...
I would love to see Cedric Cobbs be a breakout guy.
But I don't like him as a 350 carry a year guy.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll be able to hold up to that. And Ron Dane, I never really liked at Wisconsin. His production speaks for itself. And, I guess I could say I was wrong about, I didn't think he'd be in the league this long. I thought that's how overrated I thought he was coming out of college.
I agree.
Another question: how long before Jason Campbell wins the job in D.C.?
A long time.
Not with Joe. When Joe Gibbs is gone.
Yeah, exactly.
let's see. We'll go over. We'll skip his playoff picks because it's too early to start talking about that. He talks about Ty Law. He says Ty Law has lost my support, which annoys me because I have a Ty Law throwback jersey. Last year, I was pissed off, but I figured that he deserved to get paid. Now, I'm just pissed.
That was totally taken out of context.
I understand his connection to Edwards, but the Chiefs won't come close to the Pats this year, and he'll just be a free agent again next year. I have nothing but faith in Bill, so if he didn't want to match the deal, then there is something wrong with Ty, and the Chiefs can have him.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Signed, Fred Kirsch.
Saying the Chiefs won't come close to the Pats is ridiculous.
Well, they beat the Pats last year.
And they have
was there a game difference between the two teams last year?
Tom, my name is Blaisdell, but that doesn't really matter. Thanks for reading my email last week. Keep up the good work.
That was a tough name.
What does it look like?
It looks like
Blaisdell. It's Blaisdell.
What did you call it?
I don't know. I had no shot at that one.
I got no problem with that.
I had no shot at that one. I remember there was a name I had no chance with, and that was it.
How else would you pronounce it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Blaisdell.
But as far as the Chiefs go, I'm not going to address it.
He wants to get back to football. That's okay, Tom. You stick to it.
I'm telling you, Tom's a man of the Patriots Nation. Andy Hart's a man of the West Virginia coal miners. Tom's a man of the Patriots Nation.
I'm not a big Herm Edwards guy, but if their defense can improve a little bit and you have Larry Johnson running the football, you're going to have a chance. You know what I mean? If they get in the playoffs, who knows? I wouldn't say that there's no... If you say there's a team, like, no way they're going to compete with the Patriots, you're talking about, like, the Houston Texans. I wouldn't put the Chiefs in that category.
What do you think of Herman Edwards?
I think he's an average head coach.
Hello?
I think his act wears thin.
You play to win the game.
He's too much of a player's coach.
Yeah.
I think some guys can go overboard the other way, like the guy we talk about all the time, Ozzie Guillen, how we say his act is going to grow old when they stop winning. I think there's guys that go the other way, like Herm Edwards tries to be your friend too much, and that hurts his coaching.
Do they have any wide receivers?
Yeah, they still have Eddie Kinnison and no one else for the fifth straight year.
I was going to say, every year I try to think, have they improved the wide receivers? Because I think that would make them a much better team.
Right.
Remember, you know, at this time and throughout the year, last year, we were all saying, what a perfect spot for David Gibbons.
Yes.
Brian writes in, I'm very glad football season is almost upon us. With that said, and with all the recent draft signings, how do the Pats look in the salary cap? Well, we talked about that earlier. Right now, it's the same
looking
as before.
Pretty good.
We know, I mean,
$9 million under.
Reports are more than that. It's like 15.
15.
But I don't know if that's accurate because I don't have those numbers.
Question two, how long did it take from when Teddy Bruschi was drafted until he started producing? That's a good question.
Yeah, that is a good
question.
Very good question.
When he first came on the field, and I remember that because he was on the field right away.
Yeah.
His problem, and he admitted it, was in coverage. He had problems covering guys. Because remember, he was a defensive end coming out of college. Mm-hmm. Didn't have to do a lot. That was where, and so they moved him around a lot, and he really didn't start producing, I'd say, until his third year.
Fourth year, really. 99.
Yeah.
You know, maybe late 98 when Ted Johnson first tore his bicep.
Not that he got out there and made a fool of himself.
But no. Well, he was a special teamer.
Yeah.
In a situational pass rusher.
Right.
Early with Parcells in 96. You know, and then even with Carroll here, he didn't really become a full-time starting linebacker until 99.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to say, you know, someone might look that up and say, well, geez, he started five games. I'm talking about when he was considered a regular NFL full-time linebacker, I think it was 99.
I remember, you know, in his early years, I'd call him the Tasmanian Devil because the snap would happen. He'd run around in all over the place and end up on the ground, and nothing would have happened.
Yeah.
You know, but then he started getting his instincts and knowing where to be because he always had the athletic ability.
So you'd err on the side of positive thinking with a guy like Beisel, who last year at some points was a Tasmanian Devil.
Saw a lot of the same thing.
So he's in this system now. So maybe another year or whatever.
But we're talking what, 3-4 years? Do we have time for Monty Beisel?
Well, but
you shouldn't have to wait that long because he's been in the league making that transition for 3 or 4 years.
He might not be a five. Is he a five or a six now? 6 year player.
I do see.
But maybe he's.
Yeah, I would say that there are similarities to be. But do we want a guy like Bruschi or do we want somebody more like Ted Johnson? I don't know.
If Monty Beisel can be Teddy Bruschi, I'll take him and be happy with my defense.
Speaking of that, we didn't really talk about Ted Johnson. Do we want to?
Nope.
No? Okay. Question three. I was reading another article the other day that David Patton may be a casualty of the salary cap with the Redskins. And
Tom, you thought you missed that.
They also said that the Pats could be interested in.
They did that because someone started a rumor that David Patton may be cut, and then they said, well, he used to play for the Patriots, and the Patriots may need a receiver, and they connected the dots. That's all they did, because I'm pretty sure no one knows if the Patriots are interested in David Patton for sure.
Let's see. This next emailer wants to know, what's the cost for being on the radio?
$1 million.
I don't know
dollars.
What he means by that. It means the cost to us, our reputation.
Is that like
Now, for you, it's free. You know,
Cost the listener 2 hours of their life. They'll never get back.
All right, let's take a break, Gary. We'll be right back.
From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Tom Brady launches a 60-yard.
Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, points and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph print limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Hi, this is Taylor Twellman with your New England Revolution. Learn to play like the pros at Revolution Academy.
Great free kick, diving header by Dempsey.
The Revolution Academy is now enrolling for the 2006 season and has designed innovative, challenging, and skill-specific curriculums for all age groups. Learn how to develop your game, see how the pros practice, and even get tickets to see a Revolution match. By the end of the program, you'll have learned the skills to play like a pro.
Oh, now a shot!
The Revolution Academy is coming to Cranston, Swansea, Somerset, Tewksbury, Sudbury, Beverly, Foxborough, Smithfield, Westwood, Marshfield, Bedford, New Hampshire, and Portland. To find a session in a town near you or to register, call 508-384-9242. That's 508-384-9242. Or log on to revolutionsoccer.net and score a goal with the Revolution Academy. This is PFW in progress.
This is Mr. Hadley, he's captain of the guards. I'm Mr. Norton, the warden. You are convicted felons.
PFW in progress.
Rule number one, no blasphemy. I'll not have the Lord's name taken in vain in my prison. The other rules, you'll figure out as you go along. Any questions?
When do we eat?
With Fred Kirsch.
Treasure Island, Robert Lewis.
Stevenson.
What's next? Count Monte Crisco.
That's Crisco, you dumb sh**.
Who's his agent? Ben Dotha?
No, Gary Eubelstein.
Who am I thinking of?
Alexandre Dumas. Dumas.
Dumas.
Paul Perillo.
I'd only ask 3 beers apiece for each of my co-workers. I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
Young punk. Mr. Rock and Roll. Cocky as hell.
Hey, come on, old boys. Move it like molasses. Making me look bad.
We liked him immediately.
Andy Hart.
Andy crawled to freedom through 500 yards of smelling foulness I can't even imagine.
And while I'm excited about my future at Dayton Hope.
Some guy named Tom.
What the Christ is this, Happy Horse?
You took the long
time
in vain. I'm
telling him what. You'll be telling him about the tonic, your ass. What is your mouth fucking, you fat barrel of monkey spunk?
And you never know. Lori might stop by.
Lord, it's a miracle.
Nothing left but that cupcake on the wall.
Let's ask her. Maybe she knows. What say you there, fussy britches? Do you like talking?
PFW in progress.
I believe in 2 things. Discipline and the Bible. Here you'll receive both. Put your trust in the Lord. Your ass belongs to me.
All right, we're back. PFW in progress. Fred, Andy, Tom, Kyle, Paul.
Kyle not even approaching his 72.
What are you talking about? I got to be getting close.
They
Gary, you've been counting.
Wanted to hear, you know, that are you retiring thing. So,
webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We got a ton of emails.
To follow up
thank
on that
everyone. Everyone's
thing,
excited. Training camp is 2 days away. What?
Just to follow up on that Brewski thing. He started 7 games in 98. When Todd Collins was injured, I mentioned that was he filled in for right. Ted Johnson. It was Todd Collins. But up until that point, in the first 2 years, he only started 1 game. So he started 7 his 3rd year, and then his 4th year, he's a full-time starter.
And Belichick said, I think it was the mini-camp, one of the mini-camp press conferences, that the transition from college lineman to linebacker, he was talking outside linebacker specifically, is the hardest transition any college player can make on defense.
That's Eddie Brewski.
So him being a defensive lineman took him some time to learn the system.
Sure. Okay, again, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Got a lot of emails. I can tell people are excited, you know.
I've
training
gotten through camp. Most of them already.
What's that?
I said I'd have gotten through most of them already.
Well, that's all right.
Wow, oh, very critical.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Sure
I like the
are you guys excited about getting out there for
I can't wait.
Yeah. Yeah, I always get excited at this time of year. Yeah. Training camp, the first
by
4
next
or 5
week, probably
games.
Like, get
next
this
week,
over
I was going to oh, say no, by pressure. I was going to say by 11 a.m. on Friday.
No, one week of training camp is enough for me. I don't need the 2.5. But
I love it. Best time of the year.
I love training camp. I love the start of training camp, and then I get the same feeling at the start of the season, the regular season, not the preseason games. I don't really like those all that much.
Justin in Alaska.
Hey, Justin.
He says,
Justin.
It's almost here. I can smell the grass and hear the whistles. So I assume that Ted Johnson won't be heading up the Football 101 for ladies this year. I love Ted. Spousal abuse, I don't support it. I understand it. I just don't support it.
Well, that's good.
He understands it.
Justin doesn't support spousal abuse.
Remember,
no, he does understand. Football 101 didn't like you.
Remember, he's the only Pat I've ever actually met, aside from passing Andre Tippett in the hallway at Gillette. Lawless. So I assume it was Kansas City or New England for Law. Were they just offering more than we would, or was the money close and he just didn't want to come back to deal with the media, etc.? So we talked about that earlier. He might have just taken the easier program, you know?
Could be. Yeah. Let me ask you a question. You guys a question about, he mentioned women. First of all, NBC is getting the NFL back, which I forgot what a terrible job they did the first time.
Oh, I know what you're going to say, and I'm...
When they show Bill Cowher's wife all the time.
Oh, no.
They said they want to focus more on the female audience, and they're going to do things to attract women. Don't you think that's kind of degrading? Like, here, let's dumb our sport down so women can watch.
And women who love football hate that.
Right, exactly.
They love football the same way men love football.
They love the game of football.
And I agree with you. The other thing that really just made no sense is one of the ways they're going to do that is bring Andrea Kramer on the sideline. That's ridiculous.
Right.
Why, even if I'm a woman and I do love Lifetime 24 hours a day, why is Andrea Kramer going to want me to watch football if I don't already...
I just didn't get the whole gist of the article.
I hope this isn't a precursor of further idiotic things to come out of NBC.
And I thought that it was interesting that even Andrea Kramer seemed a little annoyed at the whole premise.
Yeah, she's down there covering the game like any man would. She's not, you know...
What was so bad? I mean, I don't really remember. It's been so long since NBC had the contract. What was so bad about their coverage of it?
Just stuff like that. Like, they showed Kevin Green's wife all the time. They showed Bill Cowher. But, you know...
I'm so immune to that because I see that
on
everywhere.
NBC is the network that has the Olympics, and one of their big things... Now, this might work for the Olympics.
It works
getting
for the
personal
Olympics.
Story.
There are
features
that...
Right, but you don't need to do that with football.
When you're watching the Super Bowl, and a game as intense as that, and you keep showing one wife and not the other wife, and fans of the other team have to keep seeing the coach's wife celebrate.
They made me hate the Cowher family.
Exactly.
They made me hate the Cowher family.
The good thing is NFL Films found those guys after the game, and the wife and daughter of Bill Cowher were crying, and every time I see that, I start laughing.
That was on NBC?
Yeah.
They had the contract that recently?
That
Super Bowl 95?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Wow. I thought it's been longer than that since they lost that contract.
Let's see, because I remember, they were definitely, had, NBC had the AFC when I was here, 95.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lawless, we read that. Puppies, so Pats.com had some players listed for the pup list, PUP, going into the camp. Just to be clear, this PUP list isn't the main PUP, where the guys can't play till October, right?
Right.
Or is this the official PUP list heading into the season? I figured Rodney and Dan, but Nick Kazier as well? Question.
Well, it's an official list, but it's not the same list that they'll have to
talked about that.
Declare to start the year.
I believe it's active PUP and reserve list PUP is the two distinctions. But
offensive coordinator. So what do we think about our QB coach offensive coordinator this year? Is he going to stick with the basics for the Pats, screens and power runs, or will he open it up, assuming Caldwell, Jackson, and Branch are playing and playing well? And how much room will Belichick give him? If we start to stagnate in the offense, will Belichick move in? Talking about Josh McDaniels.
I don't think he'll do what he thinks. You guys know more about him than I do. I actually think they're going to start the year off a little conservative because they have these new receivers, and you're playing Buffalo and the Jets. I think you can get by those games, playing a little conservative with your defense and stuff, and then we'll know what the Patriots are made of in week 3 when Denver comes to town.
I certainly wouldn't characterize the offense last year as being basic power runs and screens.
I was going to say, they can start the year conservative, but it's hard to stay conservative if you're getting 2 yards of carry.
I just mean with the new receivers until everybody gets it,
Yeah, especially Buffalo, because they were so poor against the run last year.
Right.
I don't know how, I know that
defensive systems.
They've drafted on defense and, a little bit with McCargo up front and Takeo Spikes will be back there, and I know they got Whitner in the secondary, but that doesn't mean they're going to be, that much better against the run. So it might make, Corey Dillon could get off to a good start and, you know, we'll have all those the media stinks and wrong story once again stories.
Let me ask you a question there, Paul.
Sure.
Seeing that Buffalo finished 31st against the run last year, they're not expected to be a very good team. What if Corey Dillon doesn't get off to a good start against them and the Jets?
I'd say that that would be a lot more damning than the opposite would be, you know, a positive sign. If he comes out and averages, like Andy said, 2.2 yards a carry against Buffalo with, you know, 17 carries, you know, 48 yards, you know, I think that's a more of a negative sign than it would be if he ran for 106 yards like he did last year against Buffalo, or 103 yards or something like that. Because until he does it on a weekly basis against some quality defenses, I'll still have in the back of my mind think that he is closer to done than some other people do.
And then when Hello Larry comes off the bench with four carries for 28 yards,
Hello Larry,
the fun begins.
Let's see. Justin goes on to say, if offered, would Kraft take the commissioner job?
We are all patriots.
No. But he did say 10 years ago he would have.
Yeah, not absolutely not now.
There's no upside. Where he said if he was 10 years younger, it's a job he'd be interested
in. There's no upside for him to take that job. Lori last week said she was working on removing her Boston accent after I made a comment about it. Don't. Are you crazy? It's the second sexiest of the accents for girls to have. First, of course, being Scottish. I don't know, Scottish, it's sexy accent.
Lori does not have a Boston accent.
No.
She called it a Boston
Rhode Island accent.
Yeah. You do join Dick for a little while.
Rhode Island accent is more of a New York accent.
Right.
Yeah. Finally, player diary for this year should go to Ben Watson. I'd like to hear from some of the other players, but after hearing their attempt at conversational English, I'll pass. And they graduated college? Probably Tufts.
Who was that from?
Well done,
somebody
Justin.
Somebody disses the NESCAC.
Well done.
That's uncalled for. I missed that one. I was still...
You just made fun of
Let's not assume all the players graduated college.
Yeah, that's the first thing I was going to say.
They completed college football careers.
Let's see. Mensa from the Bronx writes in, I'm sick and tired of players who proclaim that they are superstars after one good season. Just because you were voted the MVP after one game does not make one a superstar. I am talking about Branch. After all, he is still under a contract that he has not fulfilled. Will he refund any monies given to him if he's not able to have a good year? I doubt that.
He'll be cut.
If I were the management, I will let him walk and let him refund all the signing bonuses from the unfulfilled contract. Let this guy walk and wait or try to trade for Ashley Lee with some draft picks. Branch is
Ashley
being
Lee
very
sucks.
Ungrateful. This team gave him a chance that I don't think he would have gotten from anywhere. He has forgotten when he was on the sidelines for most of the period in one season, did not participate in most of the training camp. All I have to say is let him walk, get most of the unfulfilled contract money back, and help the team sign somebody. I honestly feel that there would be a good player cut by some team, or better still, give the guys we drafted a chance, and I guarantee you a guy like Chad Jackson would let us forget Branch. This guy can't even perform when he is double-teamed. Give me a break. Let him sit all season. Don't cut him, and don't give in to him, but let him sweat it out. These guys sometimes get so greedy. What job will be able to entertain if you will sit on... Anyway, we get the idea.
Ashley's
mad.
He should have to refund that whole $500,000 left of the unfulfilled contract.
It's not even that much, I don't think. He had $1 million signing bonus. This is year five. He completed four-fifths of it.
I just meant the base salary, I think, is $500,000 for this year. I mean, he gets like a...
I think he'd have to hand him $200,000 if he...
I think it's $545,000, actually, and he gets a $500,000 escalator bonus, which is not an unfulfilled part of the contract.
Right.
Well, Ashley Lee stinks. Okay, let's just get that out of the way.
And wants more money.
Yeah, he stinks.
He's done less and wants more than Deion Branch.
He's a glorified deep threat. I mean, he's not going to fit in here, so get rid of him
now. And I understand Mensa is a little upset. He's an emotional Patriots fan and all that, but... A chance that the Patriots gave him that he wouldn't have gotten? He was a second-round pick.
But
he would have gotten it somewhere else.
There's
not like the Patriots were the only team that thought that he was worthy of drafting.
There's two schools of thought here. There's the school of thought that Branch isn't a number one receiver, but to the Patriots he's a number one receiver, so it makes him more important and they should pay him. I am not in that school. I am in the school that if you give a guy who has 14 career touchdowns the same as Randy Moss, who averages 14 touchdowns a season, you're crazy. So I'm with the – he's not a number one receiver. I don't think he should be paid like one.
What about Reggie Wayne?
Well, a lot of people think that Reggie Wayne is now their number one receiver.
I think Reggie Wayne is a lot better than Deion Branch.
Right, but now he is considered their number two guy. His stats are very comparable to Branch's.
Mm-hmm.
If Branch puts up another season the way he did last year, you know, the numbers would be virtually identical. Would you give him what Wayne just signed for in Indianapolis? Because I wouldn't.
I think Wayne has 2,000-yard seasons.
But if Branch has another year like he did last year, he would basically have 2,000-yard season. He had 998 yards.
I wouldn't give him the same money as Reggie Wayne. I think the Colts are in a unique situation where they've decided to put their money on the passing game, Manning and those receivers, and that's how they're going to try to win Super Bowls. The Patriots don't win Super Bowls that way.
Okay, now you just brought up something that I think is very interesting. Now, I agree with you 100%. I would not give Branch that kind of money. However, do you think it's somewhat hypocritical if you're the Patriots to start talking and I think everything you just said made a lot of sense, but is it somewhat hypocritical of the Patriots to start talking in those well, Reggie Wayne had a couple of thousand-yard seasons. You didn't. Whereas they've really preached, forget about the stats.
Right.
That's not what we're about here. If you want to go to Pro Bowls and you want to be the highest paid at your position and you want to catch all these balls, go somewhere else.
Right.
We need you to conform to the team concept, whereas if the game plan one week might call for you to catch it 12 times, the next week it might call for you to catch it twice. We need you to execute that game plan equally well both times in order for us to have a chance. And for the most part, they've had the players buy into that. I don't think you can turn around in negotiations and say you haven't done A, B, and C statistically.
Right. Well,
the Patriots are hypocrites.
No. I'm asking, is it somewhat hypocritical if they're saying that?
I don't know what the Patriots are saying.
If they're using stats, you're
That's what I'm saying. I don't know what the Patriots are saying.
Maybe they're using their eyes like me. Stats don't matter.
Right. Reggie Wayne
abuses his defensive backs. He makes them look stupid. Deion Branch doesn't do that. I'm sorry. He's not the same player Reggie Wayne is. I think Reggie Wayne is not peerless price. If he went to another team, he could be a number one receiver. I think it took him a couple years to develop, but he's learned under Harrison, and they're virtually Harrison is still better, I think, because he commands more attention. But I just think comparing Branch to Wayne is like apples and oranges.
And I'm a little less high on Reggie Wayne than Tom
is. And I'm higher on Deion. I think Deion's a very good receiver. I think his numbers would be much larger if you put him in the Colts offense, but I still don't think he's a number one. Yeah. And is it true that the Patriots are trying to sell that? Wasn't it in that story today that they're trying to spin that Reggie Wayne's now the Colts' number one?
Number one. Well, I don't know.
If you tell me that, then I'll take Marvin Harrison's contract. Just give me whatever big number you want.
Obvious, I don't think Reggie Wayne would admit that.
But that's obviously negotiating spin from Branch's camp. I mean,
probably.
Jason, I'll use Andy's pronunciation, Shiut, is obviously trying to spin that. I don't see the Patriots saying that.
Because that'd be one of the dumbest things I've ever heard.
And if they are, that gets into what I'm talking about. Is it somewhat hypocritical for them to talk in those terms? Because they say we don't have strong safety and free safety. We have defensive back. We have players. We don't have number one and number two receivers. We just have guys that go out and make plays. Well, you can't turn around and say, well, Reggie Wayne's really their number one receiver. If you claim that you don't really have number one receivers, you can't do that. And if they are, I can understand Branch being and his camp being upset about the way they're trying to negotiate.
See, I think he can very easily negotiate and not even have to compare himself to Randy Moss or Marvin Harrison or even Reggie Wayne. But there are deals out. Antoine Randall, Plaxico Burress, David Givens. To me, Deion Branch is better than all of those guys.
Yeah,
so
and I disagree with those
don't
deals.
Come near me
I
with
totally.
Money that's in their league because I'm better than them. I might not be Randy Moss,
that's the concern.
But I'm in between.
Those are the two schools of thought.
Right.
That's the concern because I agree with what Tom did. I think all three of those guys got more money than they should have.
You're right.
And I think Branch is better than all three.
What I mean.
That's the concern for the Patriots.
And he is. I think it's hard to argue that he's not as good as those guys and doesn't deserve, if that's the market, if the market was set with those kind of deals, he needs to be above that.
I mean, Antoine Randall, I don't even think there's a comparison. That's how much better I think.
I don't even think
if you got Plaxico Burress and you...
I think he stinks,
and he decided to play, and you got an honest effort from him for 16 games.
Yeah, he's...
I think
but
he
you
perhaps,
take into account
he
that.
Perhaps has more talent than Deion.
Seen that guy lay an egg.
He'll quit on you, no question.
Right, and Paul, you bring
Givens,
up...
Givens is a solid complimentary
Paul, you bring up a good
a,
point,
a,
because the difference
guy.
Between, I think, Branch and guys like Burress and Wayne is size. Wayne and Burress can push defensive backs around, where when they double-team Branch, when I'm watching him from the press box, he has so much trouble getting off the ball, and that's where I think...
He's a precise route runner that's, with a lot of athleticism and a lot of quickness and shiftiness, that if you double-team, you don't need a guy to stay with that.
Mm-hmm.
That's his strength, is that he's hard to stay with.
Right.
Well, if you double-team the guy, one guy isn't trying to stay with him.
Right.
One guy's standing where he's going to end up, and another guy ostensibly is trying to stay with him. That's what makes it a little bit tougher. He's not. He doesn't have that physical presence to carve out space for himself the way some of those bigger guys do.
Do you think the Patriots are also bringing up durability? I mean, last year he had a pretty good season,
I think,
but
that's the question
they purposely
mark.
Held him out all of the preseason games.
I think that's a question mark, and you know, I agree with Tom and Andy. I think that Deion Branch is a very good player. However, I wouldn't break the bank for him. I
and
agree
we
with
all
what the Patriots are doing right now.
And we all agree that the Titans pretty much screwed him when they gave Givens that contract.
But
all he's got to do is sit back and say,
look
what Givens made.
What was the report on the Mike's blog that he had? I'm sorry. It was in that Borges piece today. They offered him a deal that was worth, was it a five-year deal that was worth $6 million, or a four-year deal that was worth an average of six and change, and then a five-year deal that was closer to five or an additional year. I mean, I think that's reasonable money for Deion Branch, but if I'm Deion Branch, I'm not signing that.
Right.
Well, based on what these other guys have got.
Each party has an argument.
And I think we all kind of agree that there's a certain threshold that we would be comfortable giving Deion Branch, but I'm going to sound like Andy a little bit here. I hate to do that,
good
but
thing.
I'd feel a lot better holding my ground at that threshold if I knew what the options were. If Branch doesn't sign, you
right.
know. So
I'd love to see a wide receiver core that has Chad Jackson and Deion Branch for the next 4 or 5 years, because I think they could be pretty good.
Because
I think Chad Jackson's going to be a guy who's going to be the one, and Deion Branch suddenly becomes Reggie Wayne, too, where you say, he's so good, he used to be their one.
To be honest with you, we were asking who Jackson reminds us of a couple weeks ago, and I said Moles, but Wayne is another type of player that Jackson reminds me of, someone who goes up, gets the ball, can create separation with his physical play, and that's something Branch doesn't do. So, like you've been saying, they might already have a number one receiver. We just have to wait to see it.
Right.
Let's see. Rob in Ashburn, Virginia says, great show last week, guys, even though the kid from Denver is holding you back.
I agree.
It's you.
Sorry, I'm all out of Corey Dillon fat jokes.
I thought that was Fred.
Paul.
Yes.
Saw you on FSN New England this past Friday and Monday
night.
How
many cameras were on?
Good Lord, I would call you a media hall.
At 6:30 p.m. Unfortunately, on Friday, you had to appear with that loudmouth Andy Gresh, who was screaming Hudson Hauk is the greatest offensive line coach ever in the history of football and a key to the Dolphins' success this year. We only have Dante Scarnecchia, 22 years with New England Patriots and one of the hardest working coaches in football. Andy Gresh wouldn't know Hudson Hauk from Hudson Hawk.
Really quick. That's the Patriots fan in a nutshell. Both of them are two of the best offensive line coaches in the game by far. But they get mad if you say that the one guy is good.
Right. Easy, you're going to lose your membership in Patriots.
No, I'm just
Nation.
Saying, though. Hudson Hauk is renowned as one of the best offensive line coaches in football.
And it was a conversation we were talking about Ronnie Brown. I really liked what I saw of Ronnie Brown. I didn't know a tremendous amount about him coming out of Auburn, because I think Cadillac, with the nickname, he kind of caught my attention more, Cadillac Williams. I didn't know as much about Ronnie Brown. I was very impressed with his rookie year on a – you know, with a team that had no quarterback and coming off an awful season with a new coach, blah, blah, blah. We were talking about how good we think he could be, and now with Ricky Williams not there to take carries away, I think he's going to be a 14,
1,500 guy. Mark it down. Easy.
So, and then that's when we got on the Hudson Hauk thing, and, you know, I'm not going to pretend I know all the offensive line coaches and how good they are and personnel.
I know.
I don't know how good Dante is, to be honest with you.
Dante Scarnecchia, Alex Gibbs.
Hudson Hauk went to San Diego, who had just an abysmal offensive line, and turned it around in 1 year. So, I mean, he has credentials.
Joe from Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada writes in, hey, Fred, Paul, Andy, Tom, Gary, Laurie, and the Kramericans.
I was going to say, we are getting quite a long list here people have to go through if they're going to say hello.
I discovered the podcast about 6 weeks ago, and I'm loving it. I have listened to some other teams' podcasts, and you guys put out a far superior product. I particularly enjoyed Tom's much-anticipated hosting debut last week.
Anticipated? We decided 2 minutes before, and we said, you're hosting.
He said, sit here.
When I walked by the host chair and said, Tom.
I was disappointed to see that Ty Law signed with the Chiefs, although I wasn't really surprised. While I think the Patriots' defense is going to be better than last year's, I still think that there are some concerns at linebacker and defensive back. Hobbs, Wilson, and Samuel will be better than last year, but I really don't see any of these guys becoming future Pro Bowlers. Now that we missed out on Law, I don't know that there are a lot of solid guys available to spend all that cap money on. Anybody you guys see fitting in well here? Do you think a guy like Junior Seau would consider playing for the Pats? Do you think he has anything left to contribute?
Paul loves him.
I
Most overrated player in the 20th century.
I other instead of Junior Seau, I'm thinking more Jack Lambert. The same age, and Lambert was a better player.
Not Willie Lanier, maybe?
No, Seau's all done.
While it is hard to question the front office given the success the Patriots have had, and despite the fact that I love the draft picks, it seems like we have lost more than we have gained the past two off seasons. I think the team is better than last year. Do you guys think the team is better than it was 2 years ago, 3 years ago, not taking into account the weak schedule this year? Finally, when do you think we'll see Rodney Harrison? I know it's hard to find out anything about Patriots injuries, but was Rodney's injury significantly worse than Culpepper's and Carson Palmer's? Any inside info on his rehab?
How come you guys don't make fun of him?
He's the boss.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
How about those Blue Jays?
Yeah.
I can't talk.
How about those Blue Jays 3 out of 4 against the Yankees last week? Who is the bigger threat to the Red Sox, New York or Toronto?
New York.
New York's always the biggest threat, unfortunately.
What do you say about his
other think the Patriots are not as good as they were 2 years ago. That they may end up with a record because I think, like the emailer said, the schedule is not overly difficult, but I don't think they have the amount of talent that they did 2 years ago.
Barring injuries, I think they will be better than 2 years. I don't think.
Didn't they go 14-2 2 years ago?
Yes.
So they have to go 15-1?
Yeah, I think they'll be better. No, record wise.
But I think they could be 14-2, you know, if things fell right, but I don't think they're as good as they were 2 years ago.
I don't think they can go 14-2. I don't think they're good.
I don't think they're going 9 weeks without trailing.
Can they go 13-3, 12-6, 12-4, and still be a better team than 2 years ago?
Fred,
I think they can.
Yes, you can, but I don't think they are a better team. They don't have as good players as they used to.
You're talking about a team that in the playoffs held the top-ranked offense to 3 points and scored over 40 on the top-ranked defense. That's a hell of a good team.
Yep.
I don't know if they have that kind of talent.
And they don't start out the year as good. I know everybody says, oh, they won a Super Bowl without Ty Law. Well, you started the year with Ty Law. You fell into the next level.
They may not.
Now you have to fall from Ellis Hobbs and Sonny Samuel to whoever's next. I feel like you're starting a half a step back already.
They may not have won the Super Bowl without Ty Law. They went 6-0 with Ty Law. So, you know, if he didn't, you know, they lost two games after that, right? Well, let's say they lost a game out of those first six games without Ty Law. Maybe two, but let's just say they lost one. Maybe that's the difference between you getting a bye and not getting a bye. Maybe you would have lost to Indianapolis, for example, who probably only finished a game behind the Patriots. Now that playoff game, instead of being in the snow in Foxborough, is in the dome. Maybe you win it, maybe you don't. Who knows?
I agree with Paul. I think they're starting out worse than they did in those.
I don't really even think it's comparable. I think if you want to look at last year, they're starting out better than they were playing in the middle there, but at the end of the year last year when they were clicking on all cylinders, they were a legit threat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not convinced they're any better than they were at the end of the year last year.
And one thing you brought up earlier about the football gods and the you know, hopefully maybe one they'll have a year without injuries.
Now,
I kind of feel like
without injuries is not.
No, I know, but I kind of feel like at one very crucial position, quarterback, the football god has been sitting on Tom Brady's right shoulder and allowed him to get up at times when I wasn't sure he was going to. So
especially
if you're going to play the football gods game, one of these days, the football gods are going to say, Tom Brady, you ain't getting up.
It's a very good point. Like, cause you could have, you know, instead of having 15 guys on IR at the end of the year, you could have three,
Tom
but
Brady,
one of them could be Brady.
And it's 10 times
as
bad.
He took some massive...
grimace-inducing?
Grimace-inducing shots, as Andy Hart creates his own words. I mean, the two games...
Is grimace a word, Fred?
Sure.
Is inducing a word...
Yeah.
So he's grimace-inducing...
So he just hyphenates it.
You can do that, can't you?
I didn't change it. Unless Fred took it out, I didn't change it.
Can a hit be grimace-inducing?
I guess it can.
If something can be vomit-inducing, it can be grimace-inducing.
Tom writes...
Deuce this.
Tom.
First time I emailed you, I'm from Nottingham, England, and a huge Pats fan.
It's too
Love the show. I get the podcast every week. Keep up the good work. But let's hear more of Laurie. Anyway, my question...
Why do you say that like a creep?
Well, I don't know. If you could have a fantasy draft where you where you had to pick the whole team again, including coaches, who would you certainly try and keep, and who would you love to sign? If it were me, I would keep Brady, Seymour, Harrison, obviously Belichick and Bruschi, maybe others, but these are vital to the team.
What was the first part of that question?
Are we like just picking players throughout the league? Because there's a whole big list of.
I got to tell you, I wouldn't be keeping Rodney Harrison. Guy can barely walk. I'd be going Ed Reed.
I'd go Ed Reed.
That was the other thing. The last email I asked about, you know, Harrison, you know, and some of those other questions, you know, when do you think he might be back. I don't know. I don't think he's going to go on PUP now. I think he's going to be on the regular roster to open the season, but I don't think he's going to be ready to play. And to answer the specific question he asked, his knee injury was comparable to Culpepper's, far more severe than Palmer's. Mm-hmm.
Word.
It was pretty much the same as Culpepper's, I think.
Right.
But comparable is...
Grimace inducing.
He's trying to get over those 72 words.
Grimace inducing knee injury.
Kyle's all mad at me now.
He bet the over.
Let's see. Gabe from Trevose, Pennsylvania. I read on PatsFans.com that Antonio Cromartie from the Chargers, the 19th overall selection, will sign a 5-year contract. As you know, the maximum term permitted by the extension to the collective bargaining agreement for a player chosen in the bottom half of the first round. The contract can be worth as much as $12.75 million and includes $7.35 million in guarantees. Rumor is, for Maroney, it will be a 5-year deal for $9.35 million that can be worth as much as $12.1 million with incentives. The only holdup is, of course, the signing bonus, with Chad Jackson signing reportedly with no bonus, hard to believe unless there are major incentives. What is the reality Maroney won't be at camp if they don't come to a deal on the signing bonus or even holding out like Watson did? Your thoughts?
Just as a clarification, Chad Jackson, according to reports, did not get a signing bonus, but he's getting a roster bonus and an option bonus.
What's the difference?
Well, it depends on when you get them.
Signing bonus, the day you sign it, you get it. It's a check.
Right. But they're all guaranteed.
Well, no.
Well, the roster.
You have a roster bonus. Why would Chad Jackson not make
Jackson's
the roster?
Chad Jackson's not going to get cut.
Right.
So you drafted him to play. You're not going to cut him right now.
That roster bonus is virtually guaranteed.
Right. Unless he goes out and does something exceptionally stupid, I guess there's a chance you could cut him between now and then.
And then I think the option bonus doesn't say specifically what probably you do next month.
Can a roster bonus be split over?
No, a roster bonus is for the year.
Aha. So that cuts into that pool of under the cap we thought the Patriots had.
Yeah, it's not a huge roster bonus.
It's not. Oh, okay.
It's a second-round pick.
Well, it could be still $2 million, $3 million.
Sure.
I
don't even think it's that high.
Oh, I don't believe it's that high. Deion Branch got $1 million in guaranteed money to sign.
Right, something like that.
He said there was rumors of Maroney's contract. Rumors where?
PatsFans.com.
Where's that coming from? the thing about like the fans, and I know this because I was a fan last year. Take it easy. The biggest thing that you don't get just being a fan is the contract stuff. Like, being here with the team, it's so much different than just being home and seeing it on ESPN. Because with all the guaranteed money and what's these backloaded contracts, it's so hard to figure out when you're a fan.
Escalators.
Yeah, and just when you're, now that I'm with the team, I just see the big difference in contracts. So it's, what you hear on TV and read on the internet might not necessarily be exact.
I know you're going to get a lot of emails about Deion. I just hope he shows up to camp soon, at least for Brady's sake. Hell, he doesn't need any more distractions, especially being that the NFL upped the fine from $5,000 to $14,000 a day. Thanks. Keep up the good work. I like the new upgrades on the website as well. And P.S., Tom, not too bad last week. Nice to hear someone different on the emails. Well,
wow.
I don't agree with
taking a shot at it, Freddie.
Gabe?
Fred, are there any, and I don't know the answer to this, but any restrictions upon, you know, Deion Branch, if he wants to sit out camp $14,000 a day, he's not making a ton of money, so that adds up pretty quickly. Are there, like, can the agent pay that as a loan against future contracts, or are there any rules, or how would
that
work?
Say that again?
Can the agent
pay the fine? Can the agent pay the fine for the guy?
Just hit and say, you know what, you owe me that plus 7% interest when we sign your next contract. Or, I mean,
I'm sure that can happen. They can just do it in the back room somewhere.
I would think.
If he missed all of training camp, that'd amount to something like 60%.
Yeah, but from the agent's standpoint, if these things happen, doesn't it reflect badly on the agent too? And can they eventually lose their certification?
Well, that's what I'm asking. Is it legal?
What are the rules and stuff.
If it's legal, then...
Well, I know he could just hand him money, and, I mean, that shady stuff happens all the time, but just on the up and up.
And the team doesn't have to fine him.
Doesn't have to fine him at all. Doesn't have to fine him up to... I mean, they can fine whatever they deem necessary. They may not deem $14,000.
Discipline.
So 2 weeks in, maybe they say, well, we're ready, we'll sign the contract, but we want the fines wiped off.
Yeah, there's been a lot of contract negotiations.
The Patriots can say, we're going to be fining you the maximum, but then when they get to the final thing, they can say, okay.
That happens a lot. You read that a lot.
Yeah, and they'll have that hammer that they'll be able to, you know, to hold over for negotiating power, some leverage.
Scott says, Ty Law signed a 5-year deal that everyone seems to believe is really a 2-year deal. Why does the team and the player even bother with negotiating the last 3 years? Why not just negotiate a 2-year deal?
Because it allows the team to spread out bonus money over 5 years and things like that, so it makes it easier for the team. It allows the agent to sit there and crow about
five years,
30-some-odd million for Ty Law.
You're right, and believe it or not, it does give the player a little bit of leverage because going into that third year now, the team really has to make a decision.
Right.
You know?
And if by chance he had a great year, I mean, there's a deal in place.
Right. Anthony says, now that Rodney Harrison has been placed in PUP, when do you think he'll return to the practice field this year, and do you think the Patriots will give in to Branch so that he doesn't become a distraction to the team? Anthony's from Boynton Beach, Florida.
I don't think we'll see Rodney Harrison on the field during training camp.
Okay. And
just a guess, though. Just a guess.
Knowing this team, I don't think Branch will be a distraction either. Let's see. Tom.
Well, all I know is whatever course of action the team decides will be the right one.
Tom is, this is actually from Keith. Why is it these people have email addresses, but they have a different name? Why do they use other people's email addresses? I see this a lot on this show.
I don't know.
You get an email and it'll be like, you know, John at whatever, but then the person's name is Bob. Whose email addresses are they using?
And which do you think is the real name?
Yeah,
Bob or John?
Anyway, this Keith says he's from Lady Lake, Florida. I didn't even know if to believe that. But anyway, just wanted to say with the signing of Ty Law by Kansas City, the Patriots went from Super Bowl contenders with Ty Law to pretenders without.
Wow.
Probably a first or second round exit. Pats fans are spoiled, and I'm one of them. However, I just lost a lot of the excitement that I had for this season. We really needed Law to contend. Hobbs and Samuel are okay, but there are many receivers out there that will burn those guys for TDs. Now, what if, and you know there is always injuries in at
players
quarterback,
available.
Will the Pats do? Start planning on the 2007 draft, and believe me, the front office knows this because they made a strong pitch for Law. I have a lot of faith in Bill and Scott, however, they have to be worried about the backfield and how far the Pats will go in the playoffs. Anything short of a Super Bowl with Tom Brady in his prime is unacceptable, and Mr. Kraft should let that be known. Great show, guys, and thanks, a worried Pats fan.
This guy's bringing the hammer down.
Oh. Is there any team in the AFC you don't think the Patriots can beat right now?
No, that's why I call him one of the favorites in the AFC.
But that's what I mean. There's not a team out there where that doesn't have questions, that doesn't have...
That's the NFL in 2006.
I mean... yes, they're a better team with Ty Law, but they're not incapable of going to and winning the Super Bowl without him.
Yeah, and right. One of the we make light of it and we joke about it, but they have Brady and Belichick, and that gives them a chance. Now, obviously, the Brady thing is self-explanatory, but the Belichick part is one of those things that is kind of, I think, unfortunate because it's really not about the best anymore. It's about the smartest.
Mm-hmm.
And the Patriots are clearly one of the smartest, if not the smartest. And so that gives, you know, us in New England an advantage, which is fine for us. But, you know, sometimes, you know, like Tom says, you know, sometimes you just like gravitate toward guys with talent. You know, sometimes you just like to see the better talent just win out. But it's really about who the best is, you know, at managing all of the stuff, managing the cap and, you know, knowing when to cut loose a guy because it's going to hurt your cap situation. It's all about being the smartest now, not necessarily about being the best in terms of talent.
And a good example of that, Paul, is like we were talking about this the other day, is everyone's burying the Eagles. Like they have no chance in the NFC East. They still have Andy Reid, Donovan McNabb, and a pretty good talent on that team.
What did you think of the specific reasoning of
they're
that?
Over.
And I listened to NFL Live about this. They dominated a weak NFC East division, and now the NFC East is the best division in football. It's like, all the other teams have made a lot of improvement. The Eagles haven't.
That's true, but their defensive line is still good. They still have McNabb. For some reason, they still have Todd Pinkston as a starting wide receiver. Nobody knows the reason why that is.
And you can have Westbrook, Dawkins, right?
They still have some talent on. Yeah, they've
so might we be
Aaron
looking at
Howard.
The Patriots in the same way, you know, 3 years from now if the AFC East similarly improves, because it's been down forever.
Right,
I mean,
but when you look at
the
Eagles, they had the T.O. problem last year. They had McNabb getting injured. He was never the same quarterback. I'm just saying people have, like, buried the Eagles. Like, there's no I mean, are you going to be totally shocked if the Eagles win the NFC East? Because I wouldn't be.
I'd be very surprised. Not totally shocked, but very surprised.
With Bledsoe and Brunel as quarterbacks in that division, you would be totally shocked if they...
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't.
I would be.
Chris, our webmaster, says Jackson, Chad Jackson, will be paid $452,000 roster bonus and has a $1.64 million option bonus. So.
Right. So you're not getting any cap.
You're not using
any of your cap space. That's what that was on the.
Chris Pereira is reporting that. Has learned.
He's helping out. He's helping out. Ooh. Man, guy just got hit in the chin.
Well, if I knew he had every contract flying across his desk, I'd be going to his cube more
often.
So you're
not getting, you're not taking up any of that cap space, is my point.
Tom, Patrick in New Hampshire says, I've been listening to you guys for the past few months. The first time I listened to you, I thought to myself, who the hell are these babbling idiots?
Uh-oh.
The bickerings, the ramblings, and the seemingly random sound bites thrown into the program created a cacophony of noise.
I made a shout
at my computer in front of
What's up, Paul Barillo?
The following Wednesday, I found myself waiting around noon in front of the screen and blowing off my girlfriend to listen to you. In the past few months, I have found that everyone in there in the studio is knowledgeable, well-informed chaps about not only the Patriots, but in the NFL in general. I haven't heard analysis and opinions anywhere else as good as yours. I like the fact that all of you take positions on certain subjects, such as Tom's disdain for Corey Dillon, and you stick to them. You guys are great. So now that the brown nosing is over, a question. Now that Pass is on the PUP, is it possible for Heath Evans to be kept on the roster? I missed the first part of the show, so you might have addressed this already, but I like Evans last year. I know that he was pulled in after the running back's injuries, but I liked his contributions. Please comment and feel free to rip this apart as only you guys can do. P.S. Tom kicks ass.
You know something? Right. You suck. Wait,
do you think I got lumped in with that whole... You guys are great thing.
No.
moving on.
He just went over 73, but yeah. That's good.
Did anybody notice my subtle shot at Heath Evans in my running back story when I said he was being compared to John Riggins, and then he came crashing back down to earth? That's what you get when you screw me, Heath Evans. I wrote in the story, I don't know if you guys agree, is that he's a fullback, he's what
running back in a
fullback's body. He's got the size to be a fullback, but amazingly he can't block.
Right.
So he's kind of like he's got really no position. Right. Stinks.
Yeah, I don't think he's any safer today than he was yesterday.
Right.
That's the perfect way to put it. I was going to say, I'm not going to say he's not on the team, but
I wouldn't buy a house. I'd rent.
I mean, if Pass is healthy, he probably can't beat him out on special teams. He's not really a better blocker. He's not a better receiver.
I'm not sure he's better at anything.
He didn't play a lot of special teams, period,
right,
when he was here. He had one special teams tackle last year. That doesn't necessarily mean he didn't play a lot, but he wasn't a big staple of those special teams units. He's not real durable. He got banged up in the little action that he saw. And I agree with Tom. He's not a fullback in the traditional sense, but he's certainly not fast enough to be a running back full-time either. So
he's like prototypical guy you sign in November because you have injuries and need somebody to play.
Good, yes. Solid, hard-nosed college player, overachiever.
That was almost as good as your Ravens Mike Tyson analogy last week, which was the best analogy of the season so far.
Which he stole from
but
me.
Back to, now, I didn't steal anything from you. More important things, don't be blowing off your girlfriend to listen to a computer screen. It's not a podcast. You can get it any time. Get your loving while you can.
Wow, look at Andy with the
that's a lover, not a fighter
over here.
I'm a man of the people, and most people like to get some loving when they can.
Wow.
A hot girl in the hand is worth two in the bush.
I say blow her off.
What?
I say blow her off. Girls are annoying. She'll be back for more.
Oh, okay.
I think it's kind of funny that he listened once and was so upset with us and thought we were babbling idiots and then...
Blew off his girlfriend to listen a second time.
Next week he was...
We're an enigma.
He was waiting.
We grow. We're like a weed. We're growing on you.
You can't look away. It's like, you know, an accident.
Yeah, like an auto accident.
It's going to talk about this week.
Let's see. We'll wrap it up with George. We got some other emails we didn't get to. I apologize for that. I want to thank everyone for emailing.
Got to them all last week. Tom gets all the emails. Got to them all last week.
Well, I incite more discussion.
More bad.
Riots,
all
yes.
Computer.
Yeah. Grimace inciting discussions. George from Goffstown, New Hampshire. How many wide receivers will the Pats carry? Quick.
Five.
Which defensive end rookie will have the biggest impact at linebacker?
Mincy,
Roach, Woods, or Mays?
None.
Roach and Mays are not defensive ends.
Yeah, they're not defensive ends.
I'm going
inside.
Mincy.
Yeah. Inside.
How long before Chad Jackson is a full-time starter?
Not at all. First game.
Week three.
Day one.
Well, maybe not starter, but he'll be in
day
every
one.
Game.
Yeah. By the Denver game.
He'll start all 16 games as a rookie.
Since Givens got his contract, there are more disgruntled wide receivers. First Walker, then Lely, Branch, and now Jerry Porter.
Oh, we didn't bring that Jerry Porter thing up, by the way, and I think that is a possibility. Evidently, there's a strong rumor that he's on the block right now in Oakland.
But
he makes a lot of sense.
The correlation he's drawing, do you think Givens' contract is one of the reasons why these guys are disgruntled?
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in that.
Well, Porter's been disgruntled his whole career.
They believe Givens is the number one receiver. I believe he's a solid number two when Tom Brady's throwing the football.
I agree.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will see you next week. Camp is starting Friday, so we're going to have a ton to talk about. Check out Patriots.com, new site, audio, video, all kinds of stuff.
Carp.
We've got podcasts, everything. We'll see you next Wednesday.
We'll see you guys later. Because I've got to be free. Free to face the net that's ahead of me.